Okay. Okay. So, with that, I welcome all of you after Thanksgiving to our December 1st meeting. We have a quorum, which is good. If you've had a chance to look over the minutes of the November 17th meeting, I'd like to ask for a motion to approve.
I'll move approval.
Thank you. It's been moved. Is there a second? All right. All those in favor? Aye. Very good. Motion stand approved. The only thing I'd like to note, Jane, in the approval of the minutes, is we were going to get a statement back from Kathy before we gave the final sign-off on the requirements issues. It says so in the minutes that we looked forward to a statement so that people would understand why we were putting these out under the design review board. Okay.
Okay.
Do
you want approval of that before it was added?
Yes. Yes.
That was item number 11. It's right at the end on page 3. Where Kathy said it would be easy.
Well, welcome our guests, Thea and Peter Perry. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
Wouldn't you know, they just happen to be in the landscape business. So it is nice to have you with us. And they might have to leave early because they have other meetings, but I thought it would be interesting to have them join us so they'll see what we do a couple of Mondays a month at the Design Review Board. So welcome.
Thank you.
Kelly should be here momentarily. In the interim, do you have a chance to look over the ravine project?
Yep. It's quite a package.
The
whole meeting today is piles of stuff.
I know. Did you get the additional pages you were requesting?
No.
Because I didn't see them.
No.
But did you all be able to see?
Yes.
Absolutely, yeah.
But we always talk about the cross sections.
Well, this is for the Erickson Corridor. That's everything.
I know. Yeah.
The view from the street, and then I went by there, and I feel it's very doable. It's good to have a clear corridor where you can look through the buildings.
Right.
And based on their site plan, you know, where they could build. The fact that the building there that's there now is totally going to go away, and the foundation doesn't really fit in the same place. They could easily just do a different design, maybe an L shape or something, that would allow you to look from the as you're going by them all the way through to the community. So I feel fairly strongly about this, so I'm going to vote against it.
I thought they were keeping the front building and just demoing.
No, the front building's fine.
Oh, okay. The back building.
Yeah, one of the deals with this is, and it's relatively new, the guidelines, is to be able to somehow relate from Erickson back to the ravine. So everybody's been maxing out back there with the deck.
And you're saying?
Instead of doing a wall and deck, that they make an element.
It basically walls off the ravine with a two-story building.
Right, yeah, right.
I'm even surprised that they can. I mean, I know the back of the building is the same outline as the existing building, but the existing building back there is not a two-story
building.
It's a one-story building, and now they're coming in and they're saying, well, we're not expanding our footprint, but they are clearly going to take out all the foundations.
Yeah,
and putting new foundations for a two-story building.
Exactly.
Do you think that's because there's no setbacks or anything on the ravine either, and I wasn't sure if
they're
trying to stay within the footprint as a means of minimizing any code requirements to a new building.
No, I think the site plan shows where they can build up to, and part of the building kind of goes quite close to it, and So I think they could make an L shape and
well, and also, if you look at the first page, check the cover sheet and site plan. Well, on this sheet.
Oh, right, okay.
It goes now from the top of the slope. If you go to the right-hand side of the site plan,
mm-hmm.
there's the top of the slope. There's a 25-foot buffer, and then there's a 10-foot building setback.
Oh.
Right. Well, that's why I thought they were staying within the footprint, because they couldn't build. I mean, with that buffer and with the setback, they can't build the building
exactly
as they're proposing, so they're trying to stay within the footprint, so they can say they're just rehabbing the existing building.
But they're building more building. They're building a two-story building, where there's currently a one-story building, and if you really sort of... I mean, what if it said we weren't going to build a three-story building? No, no. You know, I mean, when does it get to be...
But under the guidelines, if they stay within the footprint, that's all that's being
that's
asked.
That's what I want the city staff to be able to comment on.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, I feel so stupid. So in other words, from that top of slope, you have to be 25 feet back from the edge of your building?
35 feet back.
Yeah.
Because there's a 25-foot buffer and then a 10-foot setback. And if you notice, that line takes you basically right through the middle of the proposed building.
Right.
Have you been back there?
I have been back to there on a regular basis a long time ago because it's where my daughter's from teaching history.
Is it apparent where the slope ends? Or the slope?
The top of slope? No.
Excuse me for a minute. I'm going to see what happens. Wow.
Do you follow what I mean?
I do. I totally do. I see, because it's actually drawn in here.
Yeah.
I just assumed that what they were doing. So the old block this.
But I think that's the right question, is because clearly they were looking at the footprint as a means to get something they couldn't get under the code.
Right.
Even though they're building more developable area than the current site.
Other questions? I mean, that's major.
It's huge.
Yeah.
Well, and then we've got this site design number three to go. The ravine view corridor.
That's generally my biggest concern. I've seen a couple of these, and most developers are so hesitant to allow 45 to 30 feet of view corridor.
Yeah.
But this one.
What'd you say about three?
Number three is reinforcing the historic pattern of development. Men may say, on the west side of Erickson, from his away, to 200 feet north of right away.
Mm. It shall be at least 30% of the width of the frontage of Erickson.
Right. Which we obviously don't.
It's roughly the driveway.
Pardon me?
Plus or minus the driveway to go by.
Right.
But remember in another one we suggested, it wasn't designed to be able to, that they could build on top of some parking spaces, because parking is going to be a big issue here automatically.
Right.
Done something different. Even here it's been very tight.
But I don't understand their response being that the Winslow were being shut. I mean, I'm obstructed by buildings and fences.
But in the design guideline?
Yeah.
It means the view corridor.
I know. Was that tough?
She's not with me.
Well, I think they're just presuming that because they're trying to keep the existing footprint the same, they don't have a response to the code.
They're only doing the back of the only door.
I apologize once again.
All right, Kelly.
Sorry.
If this becomes a pattern, you know.
It is a pattern.
Trouble.
We've established a pattern.
Put a letter in your file.
Did we get the additional information that Jim requested?
The plan was that Devin was going to bring it, so
okay.
There wasn't enough time for Nan to route it.
Okay.
She asked for 7 days, so.
Okay. And what is your overall feeling on the project?
Well, I know when they came in for a pre-application conference, I'm not sure how familiar you are with it, but it's behind. It's a little building.
Today, yeah.
Yeah, it's a little building behind a little office, and it's currently being used as an office. It's basically a converted single family. When they came in for pre-application, the design was very modern. And they decided not to even go to design review board because of the Erickson design guidelines.
Good.
So they redesigned. So this is their first time. It's a pretty basic proposal. It's a relatively small scale proposal. I don't think there's anything really outstanding about it.
Well, Alan thinks there is.
Okay. From what perspective?
Jim and I.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean about the proposal. It's
no,
three units.
No,
the proposal
I know.
Is
yeah,
not.
Yeah, there's nothing really.
Yeah.
What Jim and I are both wrestling with here is this, right on the top of the slope.
Mm-hmm.
It's a single-story building, which is there right now, with a little deck that's out there. And they are making the face of their building, which is going to be a two-story building, on that line. That line is within the 25-foot buffer from the top of the slope. And it is within the 10-foot setback from the top of the buffer. And it's blocking, which is Jim's point, it's blocking a open view coming through from Erickson, looking through to the ravine. And so I guess I'd like to understand what the city's position is with regards to staying within the footprint, but building more than is there at the moment within the footprint, which is half of this building, at least half of the building, is in an area that if it wasn't the building there, you couldn't build anything because of the buffer and the setback. So, it's maybe there's some clear comment that you can build as many stories as you want as long as the footprint remains the same.
Well, I'm not sure it's clear, but
well, that's fine.
generally, one can build in the same footprint and increase the height if there's no, I guess the best way to put it simply, or the most simple way to put it, is if there's no specialized foundation system. So if there's a specialized foundation system because of a geologic hazard, say, say if they had to do helical piles or something like that, then I'm not sure if helical piles is the right word, but if they have to do some kind of sonotube or something, then that's considered an expansion of the footprint. So if
I think my point is that they can't build this new building on the existing building's foundations. So this is not building another single-story building on the foundations. I doubt even whether the foundations that are there right now are capable of meeting code for a new single-story building. So they're having to demolish the building, take out all the foundations, put in new foundations, which is going to mean they're going to build across the line of the existing building.
Yeah, my understanding, and I might have to get Janelle to help me answer this question because she's our development engineer and does this geologic hazard. But my understanding is that you can basically replace like for like. So if they have existing deck, for example, they can replace existing deck. If they have existing, an existing one-story building, as long as the geotech says it can be done safely, they can expand that to two stories. But I might see if Janelle is available.
That would be great.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because it seems as though they're totally demolishing the building there. They're making quite a larger building, even with the first floor footprint,
mm-hmm.
and then they're extruding it to be two stories. And the whole reason for even keeping that back edge is so they can get away with being within that required setback to be built.
Good enough to me. Well, they're not staying within the existing footprint.
It looks to me like they have their new deck is proposed within the footprint of the existing deck.
I'm not worried about the deck.
And that the new building is proposed within the existing footprint, at least that. The additional part of the footprint is landward.
This dash line is the existing footprint.
Right. So the expansion of the footprint is.
Right, so they're going out everywhere and expanding the footprint beyond its existing framework.
The opposite side of the buffer.
But the point is they're dramatically changing the footprint, and they shouldn't be able to get an exception from needing to meet the buffer and setback requirements of the code. By staying within the footprint of the building when they're not staying within the footprint of the building.
I see. Yeah. There's a department interpretation that says if you're expanding on the opposite side, that's permitted.
Wow.
If they were expanding a single story building on the opposite side, I think I could see and not messing with that side of the building. I could see that they could make a case. But they've got to take the building out. They've got to replace the foundations. It's a new building.
Wait just a minute.
Right.
You're saying that's a departmental...
Interpretation. Right.
But it's nothing that we have in the guidelines.
No. So there are a couple of things at work here. One is that that... Basically, the critical areas regulation talks about expansion of the structural footprint.
Right.
And so several years ago, there is no definition of structural footprint in the municipal code.
Okay.
So Chris Rizvicky, when he was here, gave it a couple of two, three shots at defining structural footprint. And so one of those things was expansion of a structural footprint. That's where the, if you have to do a specialized foundation system to address this
right.
reconstruction. So generally you're limited, generally the interpretation provides that you're limited to the existing structural footprint within the required buffer.
Okay.
So. Because portions of this building are outside the required buffer and setback, portions outside of that can be expanded.
That's very interesting.
Yeah.
I would have never interpreted it that way. I mean, for us, for definition, if you say that it must stay within the existing footprint,
mm-hmm.
we would be under the opinion that it has to stay within the existing footprint.
Yeah,
so that we don't know the italicized language.
Right, where this becomes really significant is if the whole, the whole site, like a residence is wholly within a landslide hazard area.
Right.
Or you've had a, on the south end, on South Beach, Crystal Springs, where the whole thing is a landslide hazard because there's been a historic landslide. you know, those limitations become pretty significant, and you know, oftentimes you do have to do a specialized foundation system, so you can't go outside, and there is no place to go outside the buffer. So,
but this is an entirely new building.
Yes.
So how can, if it's an entirely new building, why doesn't it have to conform to setbacks on the site? That's my basic question.
Well, and it's a change of use. It's a change of use and a new
right.
building.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
And usually the change of use automatically triggers new code.
Yeah. Or existing, yeah.
You get compliance with right. with current okay. standards, right? Okay. So.
Well, and just for one more, they can't physically build the building, the new building, without going out beyond the line of the existing building.
That's correct. It's that so I guess one way to look at it, and I can grab the they're called limited exemptions. So I can grab that code. We can look at that code, but I think and it may be worth reading that and kind of rolling that around a little bit, because it's in a lot of ways. It's really hard to make sense of it as written.
Can you get that, Kelly, please?
Yes,
just
absolutely.
So we don't have to have this discussion in front of the applicant.
Sure.
Have you ever seen it, Alan?
No.
The exemption code?
No.
Okay.
None of us have.
Let me go get
I
that.
Didn't know
I have a few printouts. I have a.
Okay.
Yeah. And the other question was.
So we wanted to get into the. Was it Janelle?
Janelle, but I think Alan had two questions initially, or two concerns.
Well, Jim's
the other was the view, right?
The view. Yeah, in terms of the view, I understand what you're saying, I think I understand that it's the view of the vegetation in the ravine from the street.
So in other words, you chop it like the width of the driveway, because it's a clear shot to look at. And then the building could be an L shape or something else in the
That you're saying that might be an improve that vista that the applicant could do that.
Well, it's a vista now, and then it's even going to be less of a vista when they extrude it up two stories. So they actually showed us an elevation from the ravine. That didn't show us an elevation from the street.
Right, I think they hopefully they have that today. Hopefully they have time to prepare that.
Why don't you go get that information? Drop by. They're out there.
There.
Hold them at bay.
Slightly late.
I will.
Okay. Thank you. That was all the concerns, right?
Yeah.
Major concern.
I've never heard that before.
The exception was?
It's only three units, it's no big deal, without any relationship to what the code wants to see. Or what the Erickson has special design guidelines, you'd think at least at some point you would start to look at what your design preferences are. Rather than it's no big deal, no, it's only three units, no harm, no foul kind of thing.
I'm not so concerned about that as the exception codes that I've never heard of before. Have you, Adrian?
No, I have not.
Okay. You, definitely, Jim, you haven't.
Always something they don't pull out very much.
Right.
But in case an issue comes up, that's what they refer to. If they don't before.
Well, it just would get you into legal trouble because you're going to get such a
So is this right. something you can deal with at all?
What's that?
As a group, the DRB? I mean, is this our issue?
What issue?
This kind of thing, the setbacks and all that. It's really something the city...
It's something that should be part of the Planning Commission review.
Yeah.
Not so much, but since we are the first to see it, we might as well bring it up.
Okay.
And, you know, what we will wind up doing is making our concerns known to the Planning Commission. They'll be dealing with it next.
So this is, we're doing a preliminary today, right?
Yeah.
So it seems amazing. They didn't make it. Well, think Lee never once made the staff of doing it following the setbacks. You don't have to do a design.
Of course they did. And the developer said,
it will cost too much to put it on the end.
Well, and we'll get the most rent from these apartments if we're all looking into the ravine.
I think it's just
even though it's noisy as heck back there. But
noisy?
Well, you're yards away from Creole Park.
I know.
I mean, this.
Well, and you assume that when these things come into us, every staff have vetted them in terms of meeting the code. So things like setback and buffer, we would expect the staff to be enforcing those issues of the code rather than they're not being met at all.
So that's why
the design guidelines don't recognize that.
No, but the design guideline does for Erickson calls out this slot, which would change the design.
Right. But I mean, their response to the guidelines
don't
recognize the fact that they were not following the guidelines. Because they're not providing that view for it.
Yeah. I mean, that's the way we have to see it.
But to answer your question, no. I mean, we could ignore it all. And
not ignore it, but I mean.
But that's not what we do.
Yeah. So I can understand us looking at these things at our leisure.
I also, I mean, they could just change the slope of the roof, but there's a 25-foot building height limitation, and they're calling out the 25-foot building height on sheet 8.3.2, but it does not appear to be measured to the ground.
Oh, really?
Well, it's, so we, you know, we ought to be doing a better job than this.
See, I believe, like, you're talking about the new planning zone, you mean at the desk?
Pardon me?
You mean that they should be doing a better job?
No, I was meaning the architect ought to be doing a better job.
Yeah. But it should be called out to them as well.
Yeah.
Prior to our seeing it.
Yeah,
I wish I had a landscape design. I don't understand landscape land at all. It's tremendously detailed.
A lot of circles. That's a template. A lot of circles. Just make a lot of circles.
But all the plant material is defined, which is better than we've seen in a long time.
Yeah.
My Latin might be good, but I certainly can't understand what the plants are.
Well, they've got the common name.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we need a landscape architect for doing this.
It's a lot of firms.
What's a compact polymer abrevita?
Seen them everywhere. There's a big columnar, evergreen.
Oh, they're nice.
They grow fast.
They're
screening.
$29.95 at Handy. They're cheap.
They're quick fixes.
Mm-hmm.
And they die in shade.
They do.
Well, right next to the ravine.
Yeah, they don't like shade.
And what's up with the heebie? H-E-B-E?
Heebie.
Heebie, it's a shrub.
It's a shrub, not a tree. Yeah.
No, there's certain heebies that are really beautiful, but
in this sort of weather, they
the last
dead.
3 days,
they're gone.
Kill them off. Some varieties, many of them can't survive this weather.
I planted many of them in a house in Seattle, and four different, well, I had the house for 39 years. Four different times I had to replant everything. They're beautiful, but
some people learn.
I just love them. And they took so well to pruning, they were just beautiful. But
yeah.
You can always drape Rime over them.
Oh, really?
Put a little blanket of Rime over them to bring the temperature up.
Where were you when I needed it?
Okay. Against landscape.
You know, I've heard of those exceptions before, and it's like they're based in Roman law on precedent. So if they've ever accepted anything before that was open to interpretation, they put it in a tower.
They have to put it in. Yeah,
right, now over time, they build up a body of exceptions.
Mm-hmm. And only very once you're inside, you know, because I don't even know what the house lives on. I mean, you know what the structural footprint is of a building, and that's
right.
Like rocket science.
Right.
So even thinking about what's expanding the existing structural footprint, it's not a hard thing to get your head around.
Why is she talking with them out there when the applicants are there? Yeah, then get back in here.
Yeah. So you're Australian?
Yeah.
From where?
Queensland.
Queensland, okay.
On the Gold Coast. Have you ever been there?
No, I've played rugby, so I've known a lot of people from Queensland.
I bet you
know. Really get there.
Yeah.
Hi. This is Mel Hitch. She's our development engineer.
Hi.
Hi. You know everyone here?
You.
So let's just go around the room and introduce ourselves. Do you want to start?
Yeah, Chuck DePue with the DRB.
Okay.
Mark Levine.
Hi.
Alan Granger.
Adrian Slate.
Jim Lindman.
So I heard you're having some questions about the critical area. Not our easiest section of code to understand, so I struggle with it, I feel like.
Well, we're not sure why, if they're not staying within the existing footprint, they get exceptions from the setback and buffer requirements. Because they're expanding the footprint, they're changing the use, and they're expanding the density of the building.
Right, right.
All of which seem to be exceptions.
Well, I guess my question is, I've gone through a lot of different permits since this one, so I'm just trying to recall. So... if you stay within the footprint, as the exemption says, you're able to build. Now, if you want to go outside of that, and you're going to the outside, I mean, you still have to meet your buffer requirements. Even if they stay within the building footprint, they still need to get a geotech report.
But they're not meeting any of the buffer requirements.
They're going, well, can I see the site plan and just kind of... All right.
This is the 25-foot setback, and this is the 10-foot building setback.
Okay.
So they're not meeting any of those because they say they're staying within the existing footprint of the building, which is in dash lines. But, of course, they're not staying within.
So they're going back here, right?
Yeah, so that's the buffer and setback. Here's the existing building is on this line.
Right.
Yeah, so the part they're adding...
So they're getting a buffer reduction here. So the 25-foot buffer is a buffer reduction. Typically, you have to have a buffer. It's either 50-foot or the height of the slope, whichever is greater. And then a 15-foot building setback. So this 25 of 10 foot is for the stream, right? That's not for...
In this district, the Winslow Ravine, in order to accommodate commercial development in the downtown core, there's a special setback for the Winslow Ravine to allow for commercial development closer to the ravine.
And this isn't commercial development, it's residential development.
Well, let's just say this.
Well, so I guess I don't know what I mean.
Are you saying to the extra benefit because it is in the zone is they only have to be 25 feet away?
From the Winslow Ravine provides from that stream a reduction.
So from the critical areas section, you can get a buffer reduction from the top of the slope to 25 feet, basically. So you get the buffer's reduced to 10 feet, and then you have a 15-foot building setback.
So is it based on structural reasons that you can reduce that So these sound structures.
Yeah, you have to have your geotechnical report that shows how you're going to handle your foundation and that you're using special building practices if necessary to accommodate the potential of instability from landslide hazard. And
that the exception F, go down to subparagraph 1 on page 48.
I don't have that one, but I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Okay. Page 48. It says structural alterations to an existing legally constructed structure.
That does not
increase the structural footprint. Well,
so they are reducing. See, to me, any work that they're doing within the footprint of the meets that has that exemption. If they're going outside their footprint, then that's not what they're meeting. Then they still have to.
But they're not using the existing structure. They're tearing the structure down.
Right, but still.
They're not. I mean, they're not saying, "Hey, we're working on this existing structure, which was approved legally mm-hmm. in the past. It was probably added on illegally in the past."
Right.
And they're tearing it down. And they've got to build new foundations.
Right.
Because it's a two-story building going in place of a one-story shed.
Right. Well, we've been pretty. We've allowed people to keep that same. As long as you're within the building footprint, we've allowed them to put in new foundations. We came into a lot of different situations where they tried not to change the foundation and were making alterations, and when they went in, they realized their foundation had a problem or something like that, and we didn't think, you know, that it was fair that you not be able to fix your foundation if you're just making some, you know, fairly minor changes to your thing. So in that vein, we kind of looked at it more closely and decided that we were gonna allow people to build to their maximum, the maximum they could, you know, to give them as much leeway in this as possible. I mean, one thing to consider.
Are you giving them leeway horizontally?
No, we're trying to keep in the footprint for that one exemption. When we're talking about that, but then if they're building outside, so the addition that they're putting on here that's outside of the footprint,
It's not an addition. They're tearing the whole thing down.
Right. But where they're going outside of the footprint, I consider that still like a new structure, and that they have to have their third-party geotech review. They have to have their geotechnical, and they can reduce the buffer to that set amount. So anything that's new has to be at least of a 10-foot buffer from the top of the slope and 15-foot building setback, so 25 feet total back from the top of the slope.
So, Janelle, I guess my question is, when Kelly got this plan, did she show it to you? Is it something you look over as well?
Yeah.
And both of you looked at this and felt that it was within the guidelines, even the exceptional guidelines, and that's a requirement.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I primarily look at this as safety, health and safety concerns. And they're going to have to go through some measures to get good, solid foundations in there, and they're going to have some conditions that the geotechnical engineer will have to set forth and will have to monitor during construction and everything. But you can do it, and it can be safe. So that's kind of my thought on here is I look at the code and I understand the content is to keep it safe for everyone, for the construction
right.
contractors and for whoever's going to live in that building and for the neighboring properties. So
I have a question.
Sure.
It's very simple. If this project didn't exist, could they still get an exemption based on using, you know, doing a geotech thing and making sure that their foundation was beefed up or whatever it needs to be to be through this?
So could
they go ahead and get an exemption to build back that farm?
So do we have something that shows the top of the slope on here?
Yeah, this is the top of the slope. So they have to be the 20, 10 plus 15 here.
Yeah, yeah, they'd still have to do the 10 plus 15 rule. And so if there was nothing there, they would have to be at least 25 feet
from the top of the slope.
Yeah.
Certain structures could, you know, you could put certain structures in front of that. Within that 25 feet, but...
Well, within that 15-foot building setback, you could put, like, a patio on there, something of that nature.
So, in other words, no matter if it was a brand-new building, you couldn't build anything between the top of the slope and the 25 feet.
Right.
But you could build within the 10-foot.
It would be a 15-foot buffer plus a... Or a 10-foot buffer plus a 15-foot setback.
Right.
So it'll only be 25
feet.
Who's
total? Are these wrong here, then?
No, it's just this is what they're proposing.
We have a 25-foot tent shown.
Yeah, they might have proposed... So your buffer reduction is whatever the geotech thinks is appropriate.
Yeah.
So they can go down to 10 feet, but maybe in this case they thought that having it less than...
So what I'm asking is, it was brand new.
Uh-huh.
Where is the absolute limit that they could build to using an exemption or something, using being rational about this whole thing? How far away from the top of the slope could they build?
It's 25 feet.
So that first one.
Now what about your view corridor?
That's
with the exception of things like
impervious
structures.
Well, it's an important issue.
Oh, no, it is.
No, right. But I mean, there would be that minimum setback if it's
more feel comfortable. That
because it's an existing footprint, you're giving them the benefit of the doubt by not creating the change of footprint for anything that's 4 feet, which doesn't make any sense.
Well, the benefit of the doubt.
Well, they're going to scrape it. They're going to start all over again with brand new footings on a building that they wouldn't be able to build otherwise. And the only reason they're doing that is because you're allowing them to treat it as if it's an existing remodel.
Yep.
Right.
And it's not.
Yeah.
Because you're creating square footage that's not in the buffer setback area as square footage that's not critical. Even though it's clearly that they're not building within the footprint.
Right. So the area within the required buffer and setback falls under this structural alteration, but the areas outside the buffer and setback don't have those limitations, except that Janelle, as is her, the code allows her in situations to have some say over that. So even though this isn't that the new footprint outside the existing footprint, she's still asking for, geotechnical.
But they would need to do that anyway. Mm-hmm. You're not asking them for anything, an exception. They would have to do that anyway.
Nothing additional.
So is there a concern, Chuck, saying,
we're
calling it a remodel, but it isn't a remodel.
But it isn't a remodel. We're giving them an exception.
Structural.
We're treating it as an exception within an exception, but it's not subject to the exception to me, because they're building new. And so they're getting...
In any given remodel, aren't the guidelines that one wall has to remain?
Well, no, that's a common rumor on Bainbridge Island. But this code isn't written as a remodel. It's a structural alteration. So...
Okay.
It's not a remodel. So, and a house on the shoreline, they can completely remove these structures. The thing that this was trying to, this code, was, this is the newest critical areas regulations. The old critical areas regulations allowed you to completely remove and replace an existing footprint with no geotechnical engineering. And that's what they were trying to fix in this code. So, the city council was pretty sensitive to the idea of making, of existing non-conforming structures and providing, for that in the code, critical areas as shoreline.
I think we have it, and we're running extremely late. So
we'll be the only ones that have it.
We have it, but I mean. The north end of this building at the very back, which is the facility piece that gets the closest to the total slope, is literally like an enclosed porch. I mean, it's not...
It's not like for like is what you're...
Well, I mean, I would be surprised if there's hardly any foundation in that corner at all.
Yeah, right.
I mean, that's... and that's why it's sort of like questionable as to how do they do this?
Right, it's often, yeah, it's often, we struggle with this, with the, what is the legal, you know, legally constructed, and where is that, and how far do you go in court over legally constructed, and it's definitely, like so many of our codes, really, really difficult to implement.
Well, but that's why most people...
To implement fairly.
If you stay within the building footprint, you stay within the building footprint. That's, mm-hmm. It's pretty clear what that is. And you start allowing exceptions for going outside the building footprint, and now you start to create problems.
Well, we don't have a definition of structural footprint.
Well,
so that's...
You've got a definition of footprint.
We do.
Well...
I think so.
Not really.
Okay,
that's
sorry.
Is it the outside? You know, foundations go down, and then there's a, you know, usually a little...
Actually, it's the toe of the foundation, because... I mean, that's what you have to get behind your property line anyway.
Right, but there's there's a couple different places.
We don't have a definition of
how they define the footprint throughout the city. Sometimes for planning purposes, it's different than for structural purposes.
Yeah.
So we've struggled with that, and even this whole exemption has been very difficult for us, because you know, it's like at first you look at it and it seems like the intent is, oh, you know, you shouldn't be having to change any of your foundations or anything like that, but then you think of, well, what if, you know.
Is there a history of this particular thing on Harrison in the old industry?
Yes. There was the, there's the old, I think it was 216 Erickson, was it, or 3 something
Erickson?
Well, that one was, remember there was a parking lot, there was a lot of to-do over the parking lot, and that constituted substantial development, and replacing a parking, an area that was a parking lot with building, so there's a lot of to-do over that.
Is that at the art museum?
Excuse me, I hate to interrupt.
No,
but
it's on this.
No,
interesting discussion.
Don't put us off yet. I want to get back to one more question. You go to page 16. It talks about standards for existing developments.
15, so he's on 15, 21, 15.
And it talks about what you can do to a structure that isn't in a geologically hazardous area. And it says, you know, it can be altered if there is no change in the footprint of the building. The remodel is entirely within the existing building. And there's no further encroachment into buffers required.
We have to catch up with you for one moment, Alan, because you don't have the same paper.
So,
16?
D2.
Yes.
D2,
okay.
And you have two
buffers. D2. That's... So under landslide hazard and erosion hazard areas, is that what?
Oh, this is just a definition.
Oh, under the definition.
I mean, it's sort of
standards for existing development.
Under 16.20.040, applicability exemptions and bio development activity.
Hold on. Okay.
Applicability exemptions. Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
Except for structures located on geologically hazardous areas,
exactly.
Which are not exempt. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
right, okay.
So if these are the rules for what you can do and it's not a hazardous area, why are the rules being interpreted for what you can do more leniently in a hazardous area?
These exemptions are exemptions from the critical areas regulations. So this code said if you made a structural alteration, then and it was within the footprint, then you were exempt from critical areas regulations. And when they updated this that meant that these people, most of them on the shoreline, that were taking, you know, 1,200 square foot cabin and replacing it with a 3,600 square foot three story building, didn't have to have geotechnical engineering.
Right.
And so it's not very well written, but what they were trying to do was take those geologically hazardous proposals out of the regular exemptions. So they were trying to hold them to critical areas regulations, mainly designed to address safety.
So what? But what the city actually? I don't know. This lack of clear definition is really troublesome.
So what we have brought forward today is there's a real problem with definitions. There's a real problem with footprint.
Mm-hmm.
There's a real problem with the definitions and structures in general. And it would be great, Kelly, if you and Janelle, a group of you, can revisit this, you know, because clarity would mean a great deal to anyone, not only the person who's applying, but certainly the design review board and the planning commission, if we're all working under different interpretations. Although it makes an interesting gray area for exceptions, it doesn't give clarity to what needs to be done.
Yeah.
I think it's just one big gray area. I don't think there's any black thing.
Well, pretty much. Are you saying there shouldn't be, or there isn't?
I like black and white. So.
Okay.
I think black, the city should have black and white, too,
I
because
guess
that's
it.
Then you're
oh.
not on the...
I'm this up for the sake, as, at least from my point of view, is if you follow the guideline and you allow a corridor for them, it's going to greatly impact how they set out to design something. And they've gone ahead and designed something that will be difficult to get that corridor in there. And now, to really figure out where they can even put something back there, it's like you've added another burden to the architect. Because it's so important. Do you represent?
Yeah,
well taken.
I do.
Now I'd like to bring them in.
Yeah, let's
okay.
go.
Okay.
So, I think
it's totally clear about the view.
Yeah. Janelle, thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, thank you very much.
Thanks.
It's enlightening, but frustrating.
I understand.
Okay.
Thank you
so
much.
Just be available every other Monday.
I know. I think so.
Never heard of
the exceptions.
Well, the way they're going about the exceptions, it's only because of requirement geotechnical. We're basing it on a structural code issue rather than our planning and design guidelines.
Good question to ask. Have they had a geotechnical study prepared?
Yeah.
Like it's all based on that.
Right, well, they talk about the soils and stuff on the cemetery, but you're right into the... Just, I mean, the kind of the rhetoric in the community...
I want to get back to the
paper. They throw this out. This is exactly what people worry about.
I know.
It's not the three units versus two or whatever is that big a deal, but there's a preponderance of let's figure out how to let people do what they want. And then there's other times where we hammer people and we get so inconsistent.
Is the definition of this group's role to be the watchdog of planning?
Not really.
It's
supposed to come to us. With things like this resolved already.
Right.
Yeah.
And
unfortunately,
it
doesn't.
No. This actually impacts a couple of our problems.
You know, Jim, the other thing that I'm always aware of is that we're setting precedents.
Yeah.
On sites like this.
Now the next buffer. I mean, what they're basically saying is you can get waivers out of your critical areas requirements.
So this will just roll right down Eric's fingers. All these owners, or a lot of them, had plans, you know, they want to do something in that to maximize their property, and there've been one fight already, but, you know, once something like this happens, it'll just...
Well, you get the some of the grandfathering benefits of an existing footprint, but you don't have to follow that.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Sorry, guys, we're on sober.
A little late in getting you into the room. That's all right. This work?
Okay.
Or whatever. We had requested some additional information. Were you able to provide that today?
Yes. Yeah, I do have. I did not do an elevation drawing just because the buildings are set back looking from the road, but I do have a little sketchup model that we've done.
Before you start with that,
yeah,
could you give us a couple minutes to just sort of explain the concept of the project?
Sure. So currently there is a small building in the back, one story, that is being used for licensed massage therapists have their offices set in there. So the idea is that we're going to take that building down and build within the existing footprint along the ravine side and with a slight addition going towards Erickson. And then it would be a two-story apartment complex. So there's one unit down on the lower floor and two units up on the second floor. Following the footprint on the ravine side provided, you know, had a few challenges, but it also provided some modulation so that we could get that on the exterior of the building and some form there. And that's kind of the general concept. And then, you know, cleaning up the landscaping and the existing gravel and getting that into a nice asphalt parking lot. The existing building up front has one apartment in it and then a dental surgeon that's on the lower floor.
Okay. And at first you called them condominiums, but they're actually going to be apartments.
So they will be apartments. There was some confusion. What's out there existing currently are three condominiums. The apartment above on the front building, the dental office. So that's two condominiums in that building. And then the third condominium is this back building.
Okay.
And there was some confusion regarding how to break that up or to put it together as a whole unit, and working and talking with Rob Grant, the surveyor, and Kelly, we came up with the idea of they could be five condominiums. Mr. Ransom would maintain control of all of them.
Condominiums or apartments?
They're condominium. They will be technically condominiums. You're correct.
Okay.
But they will be leased as apartments. Does that make sense?
Not at all. But someone will own them and someone's leasing them.
Correct. Mr. Ransom's going to maintain control over all of them.
Okay.
So.
Good.
And he's a land use attorney, so that's makes sense. So he's
going to condominiums on all the spaces rather than around the buildings.
No, well,
you've gone from 3 to 5.
Correct.
Okay.
And well,
they actually, when whoever did this, which was before me, condoed the front building, and the front building with the two condominiums has the front part of the lot, and then he took the back part of the lot and has the building coming down and condoed it as one unit, because I think he intended to someday do what's where we're now proposing.
Right.
So it gave him the flexibility.
Got it.
So is there an internal property line?
So currently there is an internal property line, and we can either get rid of that internal property line or change it around, whatever we eventually work out with the city as far as the way they want it done. Yeah.
The city attorney is working with the city surveyor, and we're looking into to make sure that it's legally appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
The essential question is, one of the essential questions is, do they have to aggregate these lots in order to do a mixed-use development? So that's essentially the applicant is. I would like to proceed with the development, and how that underlying land has to be configured is is one of the answers, the questions to be answered as we go forward.
So otherwise each parcel would have to have a mixed-use development on that parcel.
Well, that's the essential question. Right. Can, you know, there's common ownership, and do we have to dissolve that line and then recreate lines once the development is done? You know, it's essentially going to look the same, so it's...
Wouldn't some of the parking be a part of the back parcel? The property line, it couldn't sustain itself as it's shown.
Right, they have shared parking. So that's
where the line might move then, if you do change the parking line.
Well, it may be that line has to be dissolved in order to process it as a mixed-use development.
Okay. So did you review this piece in the Erickson design guidance at all?
Yeah, we actually had a different design before this, but... So we did go through the design guidelines. We have the sloped roofs that you guys are after, the shape and the modulation. The footprint falls within those guidelines as well. And I think we can go through them.
Did you try a design that provided a few corners along the entryway?
So that was one of the things we had the most difficulty with. Because of the existing footprint, I was under the assumption that we would be able to be grandfathered in because we currently have that one-story building in there. I understand we are going taller, but at the same time, does the existing building count as part of that? So if we were looking at shoreline jurisdiction, if that footprint was already there, it could be two-story. They aren't looking at the view corridor as far as two-story or one-story.
This is so perky. This is a totally brand new building.
So right.
To me, that's nothing to do with existing footing or foundation. It's bigger, it's taller, everything about it is within the setbacks of it. Maybe you couldn't build it there today. You have to move that.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't apply all to the view corridor, which, even if you made some motion, took a day out of it or something. Did you have an L-shaped design before? I just
wanted to... No, the previous design was a low-sloping shed roof. It was in the same footprint, but it was a much more contemporary building.
But it didn't maintain a view corridor roof?
No.
And so did you opted not to do that because of the...
The footprint. Exactly. So, thinking how the jurisdiction works for shoreline, they wouldn't, if it's already established, they don't say whether it's one story or two stories.
That is, the way that shoreline code works is that...
we're not shoreline.
Right.
We're not.
Right.
But there's not...
Let's not talk about
that. Yeah, no, I'm just saying there's not a clear definition in the code of what that means or how that's interpreted.
Which is true, and which is unfortunate,
mm-hmm.
in many ways. So your interpretation has you extending the footprint on the backside. Is that correct?
Well, so I'm not taking up any more space north to south. Where that view corridor is.
Jim?
No, I have nothing to say. I just feel that there should, the design should, because it's a brand new building, as far as I can tell, that there's exactly what you have here is totally exactly against the implications of the design guidelines.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what you should be seeing. Or it should be in the corner of the building, realistically, but there's no attempt at all to provide a view for it. And I understand why, because you go back on this footprint.
Right.
Well, I'm still very thankful using the existing footprint. On a single-story building, demolishing the building, removing all the foundations, building a new building with new foundations, and thinking you're not going to go beyond the line of the back of this building. It does not. That seems disingenuous to me. I guess what is driving all of that is what you described as the next asphalt parking lot.
Pardon me?
I said what is driving all of that is actually the creation of this nice asphalt parking lot in the back here. But you what? Can't, I mean, but you're building so close to the top of the slope. It's all because the building's pushed back.
Correct.
As far as it can go.
Right.
And I'm assuming the reason for that is you can get an extra one or two parking.
So you can get parking in there. Exactly.
Is that all the parking? Is there extra parking there, or is that it? That's all you did on your actual basis requirement?
I believe we were one over the minimum requirement. So I think 8 were required and we're providing 9. So there's down in the lower right hand corner of the parking area is the trash.
Okay, so that's
trash enclosure. No.
You see, it would have been nice if the, because I think we've been struggling with the fact that you're getting the benefits. You're creating a new structure that would not be allowed under the code right now.
Correct.
Under an exception of staying within the existing footprint, even though you're not staying within the existing footprint. You're extending the footprint.
Yes.
So if there was going to be flexibility accommodated, it would have been nice to see more of the design issues addressed within that compromise. So if you had looked at an L-shaped building, you stayed to the maximum width, and you've expanded your building out.
Right.
That's increasing the footprint.
Yes. So
disagreeing around that. But if we're accommodating all these different adjustments into the code, if something that extended, that it created more of an L building, if you're getting exceptions to the buffer requirements anyway, and the setback requirements, then at least it would have allowed you to look at establishing a view corridor from Erickson, which is really important to the design guidelines.
So at least from the design standpoint,
we would feel like the adjustments we think that the city is going through extraordinary hoops to provide would also enhance design criteria that are important to us, as opposed to it maximizes your development envelope, but it takes away everything else. I think that's what we're grappling with. The other thing is just, and I'll just say this, I'm not an architect, so assuming, but my wife is disabled and we have a wheelchair van. She could never use this space. Because you've given the buffer space on the left-hand side where the driver is, and wheelchair vans always have the wheelchair access on the right.
Okay.
So I'm just letting you
know. Yeah, no, I mean, I would be happy to... I'd be happy to switch it the other way. Yeah.
If you have never used the van.
Right, right.
So if the driver is handicapped, then oftentimes they may or may not get in on the left-hand side. But if it's a wheelchair van, the access is always on the right-hand side.
And I've also... Well... you have more experience than I do, but I've seen vehicles park on the stripe and then get out on the other side.
Well, because they have to.
Right.
They have to,
especially when we're with
so
the one.
So when you give them a cue, the assumption is they're not supposed to park on this space unless you slash the whole thing.
Okay.
Because that's not part of the parking space. This is part of the parking space. But people do that because they have to accommodate the exit on the right-hand side,
right,
which is not accommodated in how you stripe the parking space.
So you can stripe. So what are you saying that?
Well, a lot of people are just using it. A lot of people are just using like a diagonal slashing the whole thing.
Doing the whole thing.
Oh, okay.
And letting wherever that van needs to be, let the van be there.
Yeah.
Well, rather plus than adding a symbol.
Yeah. But I think the key thing for in general our frustration is that there's no design enhancements being made in a compromise that it's allowing a building that wouldn't be able to be built this way under the code as it exists.
Mm-hmm.
Or to put it a different way, it's part of our purview as the design review board to respect the intent of the entire area. When buildings are built, particularly one like yours, it would take into consideration the need to have an unobstructed view of the ravine. If it was an existing building that you were remodeling, that would be one thing.
Right.
The benefit is you're starting with a brand new foundation. So with that in mind, you could build an entirely different character to that building, still retain all the things you want to retain, and still at the same time keep the integrity of having an unobstructed view of the ravine. It's upsetting that that isn't happening. Mm-hmm. Yet we understand the guidelines and what the footprint allows you to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's sort of our position. Can we do that?
Units in there. I mean, one of these units is very large, right?
Right. I mean, part of
you could get two bedrooms in there. I think with a slightly different.
I mean, we could put three very small units. We could put five small units in there. I mean, we could do a lot of things.
Looks like you could get three good-sized two-bedroom units there with a different configuration, but it would fit.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So the economics would be intact.
Right. That's a part that you guys don't need to be concerned with. But
yeah, what do you think about
yeah.
that?
What do you think about
yeah.
it? Sure. Absolutely. Anything else, Jim?
Well, that's my major concern is all the other stuff is just down that field.
Right.
Setbacks. So, but if you could provide some sort of slot there that provides by the Erickson guidelines, that would be sufficient. It still keeps working.
Would the city allow us to? So we've got more. We've got about 3 feet on the south side. Could we just slide our building down so that that open more of the area that people can actually see through?
I think
you should
take that much.
I think.
Then you'd be still a little bit under.
Mm-hmm.
So, in a sense,
what I'm thinking
here,
yeah,
that here.
Much fault.
Exactly. So, if I was able to just slide the existing building down to the south, but that then disturbs the existing footprint.
Yeah, and
right.
I have to look. It's. I remember one time when we did something, I remember going to the hearing examiner with something where it didn't meet the code. It was a parking situation to accommodate Fern Club Village and that HDDP program. So. Went one time with something like that. It's a risk, and it's certainly, I think when we're developing, you know, when the new Erickson guidelines came in, I don't know that a lot of thought was given by staff, really, to changing the municipal code regulations in terms of setbacks and things like that to try to better serve those guidelines. It's certainly, I know it sounds really strange, but it's certainly nothing. We didn't talk about it. When the new Erickson guidelines came out, for example, I remember discussing them a couple of times and staff looking at them, but I think we get so entrenched in just, we get very, sometimes very focused on the task at hand. And when we were looking at these, we really didn't talk about, hey, how do we do that? How do we incorporate that into this code? Because it's a pretty clear, this 30%, and I know you don't really want to talk about shoreline, but the 30% idea is a shoreline thing. It's very entrenched in our way of thinking is very shoreline, 30% side yard entrenched. And the way that works, you know, it was I think it's all, almost automatic for the planners to think about it, about addressing it the same way, and it very definitely isn't the same way.
Right.
And I think we should have thought more about that, about how that was going to interact with the actual zoning setbacks, and not think so shoreline.
Well, the way we have to review this is based on the Erickson guidelines,
mm-hmm.
And given the fact that we had to browbeat the planning development to get the Erickson guidelines approved after they sat on some of the tests for a long time. And a lot of work had gone into them. I think that we just have to say the Erickson guidelines, the Erickson Avenue guidelines are ruling, and this development has got to meet the Erickson Avenue guidelines. The reason why I feel strongly about that is pretty much the same as Jim, is that so many of the properties here, if they are redeveloped in this way, for whatever reason, even using this project as a precedent, then a major characteristic of the guidelines has just been written off.
Yeah, that we have a basic conflict between you know, other provisions of the municipal code and this, when it comes to existing non-conforming development.
So, Kelly, where do we go from here?
Well,
what is our
tell me where the project goes from here.
Yeah.
I just would like to know, where does this, after we make a recommendation today, what happens next?
It's an administrative determination. So, me personally, I'm going to look at the non-conforming section of the code in concert with the design guidelines and the zoning code, and then of course talk to Devin a little bit. But basically, it you know, based on your recommendation is incorporated, or I'm not sure what you're going to do at this point. Whether you're going to recommend recommend that it observe this particular guideline or find that it doesn't meet that guideline. What I do will depend in large part on what you do today.
But this is preliminary, right? You know, this is the final site plan?
This is the site plan and design review.
Oh, okay.
It is,
yeah.
It's not a pre-application.
Okay.
As I said, when they first came in, there was a more shed roof design, and it was kind of a different profile.
Yeah.
And they decided that.
But we never saw that.
No.
No, you did not.
I would say as we've been discussing for the hour before the applicant came in, there's two issues relative to the existing building. And the applicant is taking advantage of the existing one-story building to allow development closer to the top of the slope than would be allowed if that existing building wasn't there.
Right, taking advantage of the regulations that exist in the
first place. As a double whammy, they're taking advantage of the existing single-story building to say that the requirement of the Erickson guidelines, which is a separate issue, can't be met or doesn't have to be met because there's a single-story building there. And so the applicant seems to be trying to use that existing building so that there's
the release of that building. It's clever, but anyhow.
Well, I mean, I don't know if we want to put a number to this, but it's 21 feet is the guideline.
Is that
and
much?
And so it provides 12.
I'm sorry, say that again.
Where's the 12?
So there's 5 and 7 for the side yards.
Right. So the guideline is 21 feet. If the guideline is to provide 30% of the side yard of the total width, and the width of the property is 70 feet, then it's 21 foot side setback requirement, ideally on the north side.
I thought it was supposed to align.
The intent of it is meant to read through the property and see how the scheme deals.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that existing building, I think they've tried to observe that view corridor on the south side. Is that right?
Yeah. So, I mean, we were trying to stay in line with what was existing there. It's. I understand where you guys are coming from. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I think it's pretty cool. So.
But, you know, 5 foot isn't that.
No, I
understand.
Yeah.
I understand.
And I don't think it has to be absolutely holy, but you can use your breakup on that side and take it away to be still give you a larger, the bay that's sticking out, just drop that line.
Mm-hmm.
So, can we make some recommendations then?
Well, we have to walk through the guideline.
Okay.
Do you have this, Jim?
Yeah.
Have them?
Yeah.
Do you want to walk us through this? Pages 1-6. So,
okay. I'm going to go with the. It's also a town center.
Yeah,
so the general first.
Okay.
I'll get up.
Okay.
So, if anybody has any comments, I don't know. Okay.
Yes, sir.
This is the mixed use town center. Guidelines. And it's essentially the commercial parking lot located in the parking lot in front of the intersection.
I've got the mystery stamps on the Erickson.
Okay, there's two pieces.
All I think about.
Yeah. So, anyhow, this the parking at third is okay. The open outdoor spaces and amenities, I feel. Satisfies that. The one guy wants a few here. The pedestrian connections, it seems it's
good. Yeah.
The shielded lighting, I'm sure.
The pedestrian just used the driveway. That's pedestrian access to the building.
Correct. Seems to be, yes.
Creating service areas, I'm sure you'll be able to do that.
Yes.
There's no drawing of the front here.
Right.
The common open space. Is there
a common open space?
Is there a common open space? There's a deck on the backside.
So there's a deck on the backside for the residents of the apartments,
right.
And then in front of the dental office, there's there's some parking. Yeah. Well, not parking. I'm sorry. There's some bicycle parking and landscaping there.
But isn't the deck on the back is only for one unit?
The deck on the back is for the lower unit.
Yes, the lower unit.
And the
so
upper
it's
units?
Not a common area.
The common open space for the upstairs units?
There's a deck for one of the upstairs units.
But again, just for that unit.
Correct.
Right.
the garage door.
Good. That was enough complaint.
Yeah. With the sense?
The common.
Yeah.
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 I'm sorry. But
it's not complying with common open space.
Okay. Did you want to talk about that a little bit, or?
I think it's pretty clear. I think
we're just saying it's not complying. I mean, we're not getting into redesigning where the open space
no.
should be. This private open space shown.
Well, there's, yeah. I mean, you could, other residents could go back and use this area, but as far as being open to the public, the landscape there is behind the apartment buildings.
Right. I think the intent wasn't the intent that buffer area be common open.
Yeah, that would be that could be used for anybody who wanted to go back there, I suppose.
But it doesn't seem to be landscaped in that.
No.
It's not landscaped in a way to go back and use it.
Correct.
6A. 6A, concealed garage doors is not an issue.
No.
Overall form. I feel the building is kind of does that pretty much as well. Mm-hmm. And it's just, this is the nature of the whole building. That building doesn't look that clear about entrances.
We have the one with the one entry with the canopy over it with the door clearly facing towards the parking area, and then the other two are recessed underneath the deck.
Well, I'm saying it's very clear from once you get into the parking area.
Right. Yeah.
I don't think anybody from the street has a clue of what's what the entry is. Is there an entry at all?
No, I mean you drive into the parking area or you walk down the drive lane to get there.
Is there a mechanical equipment as well? Is there special equipment for the dentist offices?
Not that's out there currently, no.
Pedestrians get back to the back without walking in the parking lot. It seems like you could at least delineate somehow, whether it's with a different material than the asphalt, you could somehow delineate a way for the people that live back here to have a connection out to the street. I'm assuming that's basically where guests are coming in, because there really isn't guest parking. So just some way to say there's a pedestrian connection that gets from Erickson back to the entries of the units. It just and it could be just with an inlay section.
Section.
You know,
yeah.
In the parking means something.
No, there's about three feet of grade change from the property line down into the parking area.
Okay, so I agree with that one. I think this seems along the edge of the building. You could easily make that wide enough for a way to walk.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's a question of whether you want to have landscaping up against the building or a walkway.
Is it about the north or south side?
So I'd say the north side of this building, the south side of the driveway.
Looks like, you know, looking at the other side, looks like you might be able to have both.
That's what I was thinking, yeah.
If you look at your, you know, the way
you breathe. Yeah, were you trying to sneak in an extra parking space
there? No, what we were looking at was because the existing drive aisle's narrow, that people would have a place to back up if they needed to.
Well, I guess I would say that would be a more attractive place to walk down on that side.
The other side.
Next to the building?
No, next to the landscaping that you're planting.
No,
instead of expanding the driveway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, and then keep landscaping against the
building. Against
the building. Yeah.
house.
So there were two items on that particular list.
Right.
That was a comment on the space.
Right. So I guess I'd like some more clarification on common open space. What are you looking for? And would the space in front of the dental office, if we put benches and such in there, qualify as a
intended to be?
Yeah, I mean it's a gathering space in front of a building. I mean it's going to be a courtyard type space.
Fine, Alan.
Why would you go and sit there if you lived upstairs?
To go into one of the offices.
No, we're talking about common open space for the apartments. We're not
right.
talking about common open space for the dental office. I think if you want a bench or sitting area,
right.
it would be more appropriate to incorporate that into the landscape.
Do something in the back.
By the radiator.
At the back.
Yeah.
Well, I would love to do it there. I thought there were planting restrictions there. This had
as far
in the
as
buffer, it had to have native plants, and you.
Yeah.
But you can put benches back there; it'd be great.
But you already have a very large, oversized deck.
That deck is existing.
That's existing.
Yeah, but I mean, couldn't that be?
Well, that's off one unit.
Well, yeah, it's a question of, you know, privacy for the apartment, I would think.
So there are. Limitations in that buffer, and that it doesn't necessarily have to be native plantings. That's encouraged, but what is important is that whatever plants you put in there, that the geotechnical engineer signs off on that. Yeah, says that they're appropriate, and you know maybe that there are plants that are more appropriate than.
But if you can't really do any hardscaping because. That's the problem.
What will happen is this, there's a, there is going to be an area of disturbance toward the ravine, and that area is going to have to be revegetated.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the kind of thing where we would say, okay, you know, if you're going to do that, let's try to do it with sensitivity to the slope and especially with regard to the ravine, because there's a stream down there, what's going to be good for that ravine. But I think you could easily incorporate anything that's of a pervious nature. So any kind of pervious patio you could do, kind
okay.
of a little
oh.
seating area.
You could probably do a low-growing native ground cover.
That you could walk on.
Could be walked on.
Yeah.
I mean, if all you're doing is wanting to go and sit at a bench and
yeah.
look out
yeah.
into the ravine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think that'd be great if the city would allow us to do something like that and
yeah.
then have a pathway coming along the south side of the building to get there.
Yeah, that's what I was going to talk to you about. I didn't want to raise that idea, but you can certainly put, that's one of the things that's encouraged, actually, is you can put a little 4 foot wide trail wandering through there. I'm not sure. I haven't been to the top of that slope, but we did that over on the other side on the Ferncliff Village project. We did a good trail, and we had to go out there and look at it a couple times. And
in 2 weeks.
Okay. So we had to work on that a couple times.
I lost two. That's
but you don't want people falling off the edge there. So.
But there's plenty of room.
Yeah, I think there is. I think it could be a really nice common space. I'm glad you're open to that.
I mean, if you could convince the city to do this, you could
certainly. Well, see, yeah.
Let us get into the. Running very late. Can we get into the areas and guidelines? Yeah.
Site design number one. It shows a pretty 1920s residential character, to be honest. I think you made a stab at it. I hope you look at it a little bit more carefully when you get into your drawings. But these drawings, they're not designed.
No, I mean, they're designed drawings at this point.
Right.
I think you could do better.
Yes, exactly. And I don't think you need to have a different sense of what it looks like.
Okay.
The modest scale of buildings, I think they are two stories.
Yeah.
Still ballpark. It's okay.
Yeah.
I'd say the only thing about the scale of buildings is the building appears to have a roof line that runs right across the whole lot from north to south, tallest part of the building.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, when you get that kind of continuous ridge line, it tends to make the building look bigger.
Massive.
And taller.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you could just take a look at how you could maybe break up the roof a little differently. It's just a long ridge.
I'm sorry, so you're saying that it doesn't meet the design guideline 4?
3. 4.
3.
4, 2.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
So, I guess
I'm sorry, that was for the front, I'm sorry. The site design 3 is the one that it doesn't do.
Right, not 4.
Right.
Changing
your
landscape
at all. We have the new landscape in the back. It remains.
Remains the same, yeah.
Okay.
Signs, they're not an issue.
Well, how will the building be addressed?
How will what building be addressed?
The new building. How will it be addressed?
So there's currently a sign out there with the tenants that are listed out there currently. So I would assume that we would just attach, Ravine Apartments on the other side of that.
Well, it's got the two numbers. It's got the two numbers on it now.
Right.
Yeah.
So it'll be up at the, basically up at the sidewalk.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. The existing sign.
There's no sidewalk on that side.
There is not.
No, there isn't.
What is the footprint of the building?
1800s.
So to page 4, which is building design 1, you showed the scale of these buildings.
Yeah.
I think it's realistically it's okay. I don't see why you're gonna ever need that. But I think Alan's suggestion of chopping there, alleviating the roof line would be a lot of impact. So
aesthetically,
one and a half story building, second story.
Mm-hmm.
Building design 2 continues sort of having this building front. I think that's okay.
Yeah.
This is site access. Chuck, do you have anything to say about that?
No, I just noted about the van thing, but otherwise.
Okay.
I mean, at the sidewalk, because you don't really have a sidewalk connection, but you're going to establish one on the north side of.
Yeah, so I think if we were. I think we wind up putting, because this park power pole is here,
right.
I think we wind up putting the sidewalk on the north side of the entry. And then we'd have.
So we have to have a ramp to allow all the wheelchairs to come down?
To be totally honest, I'm not sure how that's going to work.
Okay.
Because I haven't.
Access comes in, you need to figure out that accessibility to the building. Because not everybody will come via parking lot.
Right. And that could be. Well, we don't have a sidewalk currently here. And we've got about a 3-foot grade difference between the two. So,
but I don't think we need to do more accessibility.
Yeah, no, I agree, but I'll take a look at it. I don't know how much. I don't know if I have enough room to get any kind of switchbacks or anything like that in there, but I will definitely take a look at it.
It's actually a little bit of a, that side of Erickson is a little bit of an accessibility nightmare.
It is.
Well, I think the key is, you, at least from an accessibility standpoint, you'd have to look at your pedestrian ramp or your having a separate grade than your driveway.
Mm-hmm.
So you wouldn't have your curb at the slopes down. You would
right, I'd have something up there.
But I recognize Erickson's a weird thing, but where the hell the building is set, 3 feet below grade already.
Okay,
assuming not
be able to. Mm-hmm. So, that's fine. Can you bring some materials?
So, I've got the. We're going to be looking at using the artisan flap siding and then a hardy board panel for the rest of it. And then I do have some paint colors as well that we're looking at.
I think, you know, to be fair, Dennis, I don't think we need to look at the colors until we know what the building looks like and where the colors are going.
Right,
exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Good,
thank
you. Any more questions? No. Kelly, you have our recommendations?
I think so. May I run through them really quickly, or are you
really
running?
Quickly?
Okay, really quickly. So, on the mixed use town center general, outdoor spaces too, except for the Erickson view issues. You asked that they.
Actually, could I just amend that discussion?
Okay.
Just a little. Just excuse me.
Of course.
If the finishes have been a view corridor on the north side of the building, it could easily be that the north side of the building is where the common amenity space would go. And if the accessibility sidewalk, whatever, is connecting from the street down to the building,
mm-hmm.
I think we talked about that being on the north side of the property. It sounds like all of those could possibly come together.
Work together, that's what I was
right.
saying. And address all of those issues all at the same time.
So I won't be able
rather
to
than as this thing, or put it down here.
Right, I won't be able to provide an access all the way from the road to the back of the building because of the parking, the width of the lot and the width of the parking requirement. So I don't have enough room based on just parking to get that all the way through.
We'll let you look at it.
Work on it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Work
on it.
Okay.
All right. So I have that it doesn't meet the common open space right now. The entrances are not prominent from Erickson Avenue.
The front doors. There was one front door. I mean, the idea of the pedestrian path was to lead pedestrians back to the residential building, as opposed to, if there's a driveway, we better walk down the driveway.
Okay, so it's not really the principal entrance to the building that's so much at a concern. It's more how to invite the pedestrians onto it. Okay, okay.
We talked about a different issue.
Yes.
The truth is, if you look at this, it's not perfect, but it's implied that it still has that look of a front entry off of the barrier side. So that's not an issue.
Okay. It's a different thing. Okay. So I'm glad I asked about that.
All right.
Yes. And yeah, I mean, I've made some notes about your suggestions versus. So site design 3 to 30% side yard,
right.
and then I think I've made notes, you know, about alleviating that kind of that roof, if there's a way to address that so it doesn't look so cumbersome or something.
So Kelly, can I just guess Mark was asking a question when I left here. Should we be making a motion on this, or is our discussion here sufficient to actually ask the applicant to come back and demonstrate how they are addressing what our concerns are?
Well, I think, I mean, I think you might want to weigh in on this.
I mean, like always, I don't like coming here, unfortunately.
Well, I think there's some, you know, there's some...
I think there's some... I like the idea of looking at the roof lines. I like the idea of changing that. I think, you know,
I think maybe we can especially look at the open space.
And the walkway coming down here. And I think the open space, I think the walkway... And I think the roof line, I think we could look at all those items. I'm a little concerned about hacking 8 feet off of the building. I mean, economically, the upstairs units are fairly small. They're about 850 square feet each. So to make those smaller, I think that's where I'm going to wind up into trouble.
Well, let me talk.
Can you do that?
Right, well, I mean, to get the 20 feet wide.
The idea is I think from our design standpoint, the north side of the lot and that buffer is more prized than the south side. So
right,
to think that the city is doing all of these kind of exceptions to allow you to build a building you couldn't build within the midst of all of those exceptions.
Right.
If some of that square footage was transferred to the south of the building, so the square footage stays intact.
Right,
you know,
so that's really
right. No,
so it's going to be more than just the 3 feet here, but it's almost like if this was in reverse, other than the existing footprint, that would give you much more of this space over here with a bunch better pedestrian corridor and visual corridor coming through the building.
Okay.
Right. So I'll talk a little bit more to Janelle and Kat, our director, Kathy Cook. To see what kind of, you know, to have this discussion about the conflict, you know, and not really addressing how the changes to the Erickson guidelines were going to impact the other provisions of the code. So I'll have that discussion, but I think
if you guys let me slide the building down, I'm all for that. But I know it's going to have other implications with the ravine and the wetlands issues.
Right. So let me see what we could do on that side. Or
so will you be coming back to us?
I think at this point, so I'm going to show my poker hand here. So right now, are you recommending, is your recommendation approval with these conditions, or is your recommendation, what is the recommendation you're putting forth, potentially?
I'll pull the group, but I would say our recommendation is normally to approve, but we strongly urge the applicant to look at the suggestions we are making. Mm-hmm. And come back to us with solutions.
I think that's really, really reasonable. And I think given the fact that so much of this can be addressed, and I think it's more a matter of just kind of especially with regard to the pedestrian corridor and the common open space, I think there was a misunderstanding about that part of it. That there actually is quite a lot. That sounds pretty reasonable, maybe.
Okay.
Absolutely, Alan.
Are we sort of closing the public part of the meeting and having a discussion between the DLB? I can't vote approval on this.
As it stands. Same here.
Okay. We wouldn't be closing the public portion of the meeting because you still have a quorum.
No.
Yes.
Right. Okay. No. I'm just saying. I'm just saying
between
discussion between us. Given all the things that we've been discussing, I can't see how we get to approving this because the kind of conditions that we'd be putting in place on approval
or the
suggests
comment.
Redesign.
I also think that if you try to redesign it, you could pull it off amazingly okay. You're so
I agree.
And you have, in a way, you have two extra parking spaces on that corner. I mean, you have.
Well, I can put in the walkway. That's easy. Yeah.
But that's very easy. And I know all that. I'm talking about the getting a view corner.
So the difference is basically this 8-foot requirement.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, whatever. Yeah.
All right. So the pleasure then of the board is to what? Not approve the project until we have further information from the applicant.
So would you like to come back to DRB before they make up a recommendation?
I think we'd like to talk about it and talk about what this 30% view corridor is and how it's codified and how it's interpreted.
Okay.
I think that's the biggest question.
Right.
I mean, we've made our assumptions based on certain language. We got these after we had already designed the building, to be perfectly honest. We started back in August.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So then this view corridor thing came up, and I was like, all right,
right.
Well, now what do we do?
And I can't tell you how natural it would be to apply.
No, I'm not.
We approved the Erickson design guidelines.
Right.
When?
Years ago. At the beginning of my term.
Right, but I really do understand what Devin is saying. This 30% side yard has the only place it shows up. This concept is in shoreline, and it's applied in a certain way. And I really can understand from an architect's standpoint, especially one as familiar with shoreline as Devin is with the shoreline properties. I can understand applying it that way, and the building impervious surface setback, I understand, and the fact that when you're non-conforming, you can go up without that it's viewed in the shoreline as not further impacting the view.
Well,
so
the issue is that we know what we're looking at now. So,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I think it's a good idea.
So you should discuss it, but that's what we're standing on.
Are you discussing it with the staff?
Yes.
Remind them that this is why we're recommending a conversation,
yes.
A pre-app, and a site plan review. So that these kind of things can get put out on the table before the applicants have spent too much money.
And I think we're just putting that in place.
Yeah, I know, yeah. I know, but I'm just saying this is a great example.
Yes.
Have the conversation.
It is.
And we're really encouraging the applicants to come in and have the conversation.
Yeah, it is a really good example of that. Okay, so we'll revisit this, and we don't have a formal recommendation at this point, but we'll revisit.
Right.
Okay. All right.
Thank you for your time. All right, we're going to approximately half an hour.
This application was made in September.
Okay.
For this project.
Well, the guidelines are absolutely clear. This is what the goal is. And I understand the footprint, but it's not in the footprint. So, that's the thing. That's not even the definition. Well, I think they originally thought they were going to stay with the existing building. So it didn't really work.
Oh, so they thought it didn't even need to come.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Starbucks thing. They weren't changing it enough to more power to it. And then they decided to do it.
I was going to ask you, as far as road flow goes, don't those decks seem. Can you do that in the series?
Oh, is that?
Yeah. Oh,
hey. Hi, guys. How are you all?
That's
a rude awakening from Thanksgiving break.
Yes. I was so thankful during Thanksgiving. Well, Heather, what do we have?
All right, guys. What we have?
Are these truly apartments?
Yes,
or
they are.
Like, yes, the group that was just in.
Oh.
They call them apartments, but they call them condos. But they call them condos, but they call them apartments.
That's the most reasonable thing that was said all day.
Oh my.
They got us all wound up.
I can tell.
Yeah.
My people got me wound up too. We're all wound up.
So what have we
here? Okay, guys. Okay. So I'll try to simplify a couple things for you. We met in July.
Okay.
On a day like this, but about 40 degrees warmer.
Yes.
And we reviewed this project and some of the main things. I've got the meeting minutes. I went over them pretty well, pretty thoroughly.
Okay.
And if you'd like, I can kind of just highlight to you some of the things we discussed.
Please.
Okay. So we went over all of the design guidelines at that particular meeting. They're subject to two sets of design guidelines. And there were only two of them that you focused in on. So the first, if you'd like, I can just start there.
Sure.
Okay. And the first of which was the commercial and mixed-use design guideline for all zoning districts. Guideline number 3. You said you wanted to look at this one again. And this is speaking to the blank walls and facades. And they said that those facades are limited to the back of the building, which, just to refresh you all, because I saw your wonderful list of what you would like, and I know they don't have all that for today's meeting, because they came in a couple months ago. But this face is, the rear of this building is to the funeral home, the Cook funeral home. And I did bring, if you're interested, I did... Just kind of looking at what you all would like to see in the future. I printed this off of Google Earth so you could see the view that's currently there now of the first rosebud from the funeral home and what's there now on the ground of the vacant site. And then I also provided for you all just this kind of aerial Google image of the site as well from Madrona, just to kind of help orient you.
Right.
In relation to this guideline. So that was the first one you asked to look at. And then the second one is the commercial and mixed-use design. In response to number 6 on the same list of guidelines,
right.
They added, and I didn't really know exactly how it fit, but this was in our meeting notes. And this was, Jim, I think this was your comment in particular. So to the site plan for the parking area, this is 3 on-street parking spaces. They removed one and added the planting area. You specifically asked for this. Let's see. The next, that might be the two. Just check one more time.
The other thing that you all had asked them to do that didn't match necessarily with the guideline, but you had asked for the balcony to show they're located above the first floor and the second floor, and they weren't indicated on the site plan. So they have added those balconies, and that is on the fourplex, also facing the funeral home.
And they can really build balconies right to the edge of the property line.
They can. They have a zero lot line, surprisingly. Not over. I think there's something that was actually proposed over the
floor. Oh, they actually went over, but
they have the first time.
My question is, so in other words, they can build the building back to the property line.
Right.
The reason they can't is because they have to have opening, they have to have a setback because of the residential people living there with windows and lights and so on and so forth, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, from
a
practical standpoint.
So,
right. Code, building code.
Is there anything required for the backside of a residential as far as fire access? Does somebody, a fire person, have to get across that building?
Fire did not. They did submit comments to this revised set of plans, and they did not voice any concerns with fire access.
Okay, the next question is, if let's say this is the slope from, is the funeral home?
That's correct.
And, is there some height that you can't exceed on the backside? They built a fence there, they can't build a fence higher than X, right?
Correct. It would be 8 feet.
Okay.
Right.
From the ground.
That's right. Correct.
So that means that this piece, this which is their handrail, can't be higher than 8 feet above grade at the property line?
Oh, the handrail on the balcony? No, that's separate.
What's the difference between a fence? Okay.
Because it doesn't connect to the ground.
So
right.
What is your concern?
There's no setback. When you can build a balcony out to
the property,
line, there's no.
Well, the thing what happens in at the funeral home that we developed, you could literally have balconies touching each other in the back.
Right.
With no corridor there for emergency access.
Right.
Or you could have a wall.
Building access.
Right.
You could have a wall.
You
could have a wall.
Yeah.
Yeah, a wall.
I guess I'm just...
Well, Seattle wouldn't allow a zero wall. Very few cases can.
Yeah.
I think this is no opening. You can have a zero wall.
Oh, yes, you can.
See, on the front side, they have something might be 4 or 5 feet on the side. And those are the drawing. Even that would seem more reasonable, but I'm not sure my ground is like.
And we weren't able to kind of get any movement on the idea of the carports.
No, I know it's unfortunate, but I have heard some news that the Planning Commission is aware of this, and I think even Ann Blair from coming down from council, because they're the ones that direct us to revise our regulations.
Right.
They're aware of it, and they do want to see it change. How quick is it going to happen? But I haven't directly expressed this to these guys, but I want to get them all excited.
Right.
So the plans that they submitted, so that's the last major thing that we need to talk about. They realized they can't. They really wish for anything. So they've basically provided, let's see, I think it's on the sheet. Would you guys like some reduced, or does everybody have? Okay.
You said A7?
A7 is a large enough detail. You like, got extra.
What am I looking at?
Thank you. Okay, at A7, you'll see that...
The mesh ring?
That's right. So this is not... And they basically have a wall. They've got windows. And they know that this is not going to be allowed under the current code. So they're going to go back to some of your all's discussion and recommendation is the most they can have is a 5-foot-high wall here. And then they'll have beams supporting that on the back side. Unfortunately, this is just the situation that we're in with our code. So
this is the mesh screen that's going to include burglars and give them a level of safety.
They
can't do port in place constantly. We have openings. They have to use posts.
They do, because if because it goes above the windows, it's, I mean, it's basically right. a wall with windows, right? It's still considered floor area, unfortunately. And what's really been hard for these guys, I don't check with you in the summer. Yeah. Do you remember that comment?
Well, we agree with the concern. We understand they're currently exempted from FAR by putting a carport.
So we got no leeway in the discussions.
I mean,
they wanted it, but
right.
we couldn't get a code variance.
We can't. There's no variant for it. But what we have is...
Even though it's logical.
Correct.
Well, it's logical.
I'll tell you how many things we encountered for logical
What did you propose?
So what I proposed is they wanted to basically say that this is irrational, this is a safety concern, because we want to get the Safe City Award, was another thing that we discussed. The city's trying to get the Safe City Award. And by not allowing them to box in this lower level, to close it in, they're encouraging burglars to coming in right. through the backside. And you all were very concerned about this, but our code says if they enclose that, it counts towards their floor area. And they're over density. And they don't want to sacrifice density. They're trying to repeat exactly what they did in Rosebud 1 and the code change between Rosebud 1 and Rosebud 2. And before, under building parking, didn't count towards floor area, and now it does. So,
but that's wrong.
Yeah.
Oh, actually,
I do.
That's wrong. Yeah. Well, there's two things. It's not just burglars. It's the fact that someone has their car down here and it bursts into flames. And there's all these holes that the flames come up and have direct access into the unit above. And that, I mean, that to me, the floor separation between the garage and the living space above is higher rated.
Mm-hmm.
What this is doing is poking a whole lot of holes in the garage and letting the flames come up the side. So, I mean, I think the validity of enclosing this makes a lot of sense.
Right.
And even in a residential situation, single-family residence, you would have to have a fire-rated door between the
right.
garage and the house. So
and
this is not...
Right. And we thought with the growing concern
right.
for the downtown core on a level of safety that we would get our way, but apparently not.
Yeah, the benefit
and the
is...
There's no fire access to the back of these buildings. That's the main reason why I would know. I don't know.
Yeah.
The fire chief must be asleep.
Well,
that's what I feel about these balconies.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah.
I will be glad to raise your concerns to the fire marshal.
I mean, that's
definitely.
Healthy.
I mean, there's a possibility that, I mean, what if he overlooked it, you know? I mean, we're all guilty.
Right,
the project hasn't been approved, so he can give me more comments, but we're in a good position to bring this forward.
The back balcony that Jim's concerned about is where the barbecue is going.
You're exactly right.
Right.
The that's where the fire is going to occur.
So all you have is 5 feet to get beyond, you know, 5 foot zone, just cut that and start the perfectly okay balcony.
Is that what you're saying? If they were to set it back 5 feet, it would create enough of a separation
I think this went back. Is it 10?
It's 5'7" for the building.
No, because I think they're open developing the same. I think these are, again, all developers' ways to get around saying I should be allowed more density than the city's regulations actually allowed.
That's all you recommend.
Because when they came in, they were shocked. When they came in with this plan, and I was like, guys, you are way over density. And they're like, what? We bought, you know, they claimed all this assurance. It's the same developer. And I'm like, the rules have changed. So this is their attempt to get a, you're right. And they'll admit it. So.
Anything else?
So what's
from
the city,
our list?
What's the city's official position then?
On what?
Trying to develop this property more density than the current regulations allow.
Well, this is the situation. Any rule that we have, we're kind of torn on it. I've talked with Kathy about it because it was questionable if it was intended to count parking towards density or not. Neither of us know the exact conversation that occurred with the Planning Commission when we updated our land use regulation. But we didn't update our land use regulation. This was when we updated our entire code. Okay, our entire Title 17, our zoning, 17 and 18, our zoning and subdivision code. This, we didn't update that code to necessarily make big changes. This is one, but a couple things shook out, and this was one of them. And that we really weren't, like, completely aware of it until we were reviewing this application at pre-app, and then we were like, whoa, this got through, because there were so many minor things that went through.
Sure.
So how do we stand on it, Alan? I'm not exactly sure where we stand on it, in the sense that we know that there are always ways around regulations. We, you know, every day we have a regulation. And this is one way for them to, quote unquote, get around it, which is to not create a floor, to leave too wide open. And
well, the reality is they are meeting the regulations, but it creates a product that nobody intended.
Yes.
Because in the town center tries to treat all of that geography inside the town center as an mixed-use district.
Right. And
the reality is there's large portions of that that really aren't suitable as mixed uses.
Right.
They really are suitable as single-purpose residential.
Right. And this kind of not counting parking as FAR.
Right.
Nearly every jurisdiction, maybe we can call it Holder Grove as a positive example.
Yeah.
Their garage is below grade.
And that is an option they have.
It doesn't count.
You're right. They could go below grade and it wouldn't count.
Because
and they don't.
Well, when a garage is below grade,
right,
it doesn't count to FAR.
Right.
And
these people
correct.
Are saying this is not counting to FAR because it's not a garage.
Correct. Because it's not enclosed. Because they could
right.
go underground. You're exactly right, Alan. They could go underground.
And it wouldn't come to FAR.
You're right.
So it's just the development pattern that they're using.
Right.
That is putting them in this dilemma.
That is true.
Well, is it
that
also
is
a
true.
Huge cost factor?
No, it might not be in this case. They might.
Could they've already got slowed?
They maybe. You know, is there a height?
Yeah.
You can make that a solid walk all the way around, have another little retaining wall. And I know
and
you do that
because I'm anything can you say using the existing part of the existing driveway to access this, you know, in here.
Yeah.
Okay. The shared drive. Yeah. Between the two. Yeah.
So they're about establishing what the grade.
So it's not necessarily a question of dollars.
No. A little dollar. There's some dollar.
A little bit of dollars.
I think that's a nice perspective to bring.
Yeah, I do too.
To the table for them. They're just determined to go through this way. If you want to propose and suggest otherwise,
we'll
of course.
Offers.
Yeah.
Suggestions.
Yeah.
So are you actually going to talk to the fire?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, definitely. I appreciate that. And like I said, when you know, we all omit things by accident, so there's a possibility he overlooked that. So
yeah,
I'll confirm with him. That that's
well, it. Let's bring them in.
Alrighty.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Let me bring them in.
Did you see the landscape right now?
Well, I didn't see any ground to put landscaping on.
What big? Big growing trees right through the, or little shrubs right through the deck.
It's so bad. Right.
That wasn't
changed.
Has
a buzzer on it, too.
That's no fair. All the chairs are taken out. Go ahead.
We have more chairs. Does everybody have a place?
Everybody has a place, I think.
Right. Why don't we do a little introduction first?
You sign in yet?
Yes. And everybody please sign in.
I'm Steve Tapp. I'm the architect.
Hi, Steve.
I'm Michael DeGeorgiewicz. I'm the owner of the project.
Liz DeGeorgiewicz, also owner.
Michelle Lanning, contractor.
Rick Lanning, contractor.
Okay. Everybody knows Heather, yes.
Chuck Fuhrer, designer review book.
Mark Levine.
Alan Grincher, designer review book.
Okay.
Adrian Slater.
Jim McMahon, CRB.
And Jane. So welcome.
Do I need to
It's sign been up? What, since July?
Yeah.
When we met last? So we've discussed a few things, mainly the concerns we had before and your possible solutions to that. So Heather, do we want to get into the actual items first? Nothing's changed in your overall concept from when it was last presented, and I think all of us were you here?
I was not here.
Would you like a quick summary of the project, if you wouldn't mind, Steve?
Okay. What we're doing is we're building two buildings. One building has, and they're three stories. One building has two units, and we'll face on
drawings to show.
No more than what you've got, I guess.
Okay. Well, I just wondered if you were making a presentation from Central.
No.
You have. I don't have. I didn't bring
don't
anything.
Do you have a copy of these drawings of this business?
Yeah, we seek out a little thing. We look at it on the screen. We print out our own 8.5x11x17.
Okay.
So are you familiar with the site? You know where the site is? So right now, adjacent to this site is another site which is equally the same width and same depth, and we have two buildings on it. One building, the back building, has four units, three stories, parking under, and the front unit, which is on Madrona, has two units with parking under and some office space in the front. So the buildings we're proposing are going to be the same concept, two buildings on Madrona, four unit in back, parking underneath, small offices on the front sidewalk side of these buildings. The buildings we're doing, same color, masonry, stucco, pitched roofs that are very low and flat, you know, some balconies, and pretty much the same style windows. You know, they're going to just mirror each other.
Mm-hmm.
The building on Madrona is going to be slightly different in design, but the back building should be pretty much the same as they're going to be. So that's pretty much what we're doing. I mean, we're almost mimicking what we have here. And it's just, you know, between this building and the one that we're doing is, you know, 25 feet. I mean, they're right next to one another.
Yeah.
So I think that's, you know, the floor plans are very similar.
And these are apartments?
They're apartments.
Okay. Not condominium.
They're apartments, but no smile.
Ah!
Got it.
That's very good.
So, yeah, that's what they are.
There may be condominiums in the end, but I don't think it makes any difference.
No, it's just interesting. Okay.
And yeah, you're right, from our past meeting, nothing's changed. Just the points that Heather had brought up outside there.
Which we will bring up again.
Yeah.
When you're ready.
Sure. So as we discussed, the couple changes that they made were adding the balcony to the fourplex unit that faces the funeral home. And the applicant also revised the upland parking. They originally had four spaces and they went to three and they added the landscape area as a result of the discussion. There were two design guidelines.
Oh, hold on, Heather. I have one. I'm going to interject. And on the back buildings, too, we showed the balconies, but we also took the retaining wall, which sat on the property line,
right,
and pulled it back under the exterior wall of the upper floors.
Right.
Yeah, I remember.
It's a big move.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. That was brought up in our last meeting. And you didn't have it. That was a
yeah,
point.
That
that's right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry, Heather. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No worries. Yeah. The few guidelines that you were asked to look at again were the commercial mixed-use design guideline for all zoning districts number 3. And that guideline is to limit the visual impact of blank walls and facades and better assure site scale. And you mentioned that you all wanted to look at this one again. And this is similar to the four-flat unit as it faces the funeral home. The applicant's response to this guideline is that the facades are limited to the back and non-visible side of the building. Any further?
Jim?
No, so didn't we wonder about maybe putting some sort of shelter at the entry points for the different of the offices and maybe on the back side to the units?
We discussed.
You decided not to do that?
An awning, yeah.
Did you
put, yeah, I decided not. I didn't.
Okay.
I didn't
and the reason for that was it was not.
They're right on the sidewalk.
Yeah.
And it just, you know, for like drip patterns, I don't know. I just didn't think that was a good idea. And I wanted to keep both those buildings kind of
similar.
Yeah. So I just, you know, it's kind of, the first building has that kind of European feel where you're kind of right on the sidewalk, you know, you just walk right in. So.
But don't most buildings in Europe have a little canopy over the entry?
Some do.
Yeah.
They're stored, then yeah.
What about on the back side? What does that indicate? What are those? Are those just things on the pavement? Are those canopies or what is that?
What, the indentations?
These things. Those. Because I looked at the elevation, I couldn't quite figure out what was like. That.
Yeah, they're just little paved areas.
Okay, so that's the balcony. Those are balconies above that are dotted.
These are balconies on the back, and
right.
Then there are balconies
okay.
up there. Oh, yeah. Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, okay. Because I went to the elevation, and I just didn't know what that meant. So I was hoping that it was a little canopy to provide shelter for the people, like we suggested. But you're saying it wasn't. That's the back side.
Yeah.
Nobody ever had to
no.
relate the thing. So. Okay. All right. Is there a handicap space here?
Wait. We're still on item 3.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Are we on item 3?
Unless there is further discussion.
Is there further discussion on that?
No?
No? Okay. Go ahead, Heather.
All right, so that was the only other guideline, which was number 6, was in relation to the omission of the parking and the addition of the landscaping. The discussion was tied to guideline number 6, which is to maintain pedestrian activities by encouraging continuous frontages along the sidewalk. And those indicated that's where the discussion about the landscaping derived from. And then the other major discussion point at our last meeting primarily dealt with the floor area ratio calculation, which required the underbuilding parking to count.
Right.
And then the applicant attempts to reconcile that, and as I explained before they came in, that the plans they had before today will be modified as they've shown them, what they've shown today will count as a 4, continue to count as a 4, and the project will be over density currently. And they have to have, they only have 2 enclosed sides, and the other 2 sides have to remain open, not count as floor area.
Which we feel needs further discussion with the city. But there is a potential of doing a full garage. Have you thought about that at all?
How's that?
What does that mean?
What is the potential?
Well, the potential
you're
is...
You're at a 6-foot grade right now. You need about a 10-foot clearance to do a garage. You have a 6-foot grade on the back of the parking now?
No, not directly. You must spot about the space from me to get this in theory is 2 feet.
Oh, it is.
This is one little corner from stuff like that. There's no, just, you know, we built this project right next door, and you go up, it's level, it's, you know, it's as much in grade. It's going to be the same project. It's a farm that doesn't change 50 feet later. There. You can walk around the back of this lot right into the funeral, right into their ground. So, topography-wise, there's a little knob over in the corner, but no, by no means do we have underground parking capabilities, nor do we have the ramp ability, no way. It has to be built.
The knob in the corner is not real. That's the dirt that was dug out.
I know, that's what I'm saying. It's
not real.
It's just that heat.
Yeah, it's not real.
Same with saying they are garages.
They're
enclosed garages.
No, they're going to. The project we built before.
No, this project.
Yeah, this project.
That's the project before.
Will be called the garbage. On the whole assembly. So we'll have pixie stick posts holding it up on the one side and across the back. So back will have a series of windows through the garage, and the whole right-hand area will be posts.
How does that work in the middle units?
In the middle units? The only thing in the middle of the assembly is just the stairwells. That whole area down in there.
You just talking about an open ground floor as opposed to.
You still have garage doors, but the whole end of the building, the whole back of the building has to be open in the air.
No, each one. So in this. So you mean it's open all the way through one side?
The whole thing has to be called a car.
The east and west edges of the building will be open.
We like the safety and the aesthetics of that.
We hate it.
Of course.
But that's what
it's been a change.
So the bar, the calculation code got changed a little bit ago.
That's what it's
created. It has created this.
That's what the city wants. Exactly what you're
calling. Only the way the city will accept it.
No, that's ludicrous. Don't get me going on this. If you actually meet FAR and have the garages that I think you want, then you probably have to lose one unit, right?
No, probably three
units.
Yeah, we're already paying the max FAR to do that project.
Mm-hmm. I'm not
sure. They're purchasing their FAR.
Yeah.
That's
like we did 10 years ago.
You take 7,500 foot lot and you start backing out all those garages, you won't have six units. You might have three.
Right.
Not one garage.
Okay.
We already skimmed off the front two out of six by changing this all into a mixed use equation and calling the front two things offices and those things being connected to the offices. So we've gone as far as we can go since the last meeting.
Right.
Submitting it this way. We can't save those four garages. They have to live in a carport world.
Okay. Can I just make a comment?
Yeah.
You don't necessarily have an argument with the design review board, so if you could just treat us with a little bit of respect here.
Okay.
We're trying to get to a recommendation of approval in this, and you may have an argument with the city and how the city does a calculation. In the current code, so just
no problem. I'll let someone else here to explain. This is how I talk, and I'm 55 years old and I've been talking this way my whole life. I'm sorry if I offended you.
No.
I'm not saying you offended me. I'm just saying we just need to have a conversation here so that we can
have a conversation. I'll
well, that's fine. We just have to understand from our standpoint it's a very touchy issue. That's all. And you're just coming.
We discussed it before. So in terms of the set of drawings we have here, so the front stays the same with the garage fronts, and then the north side, the back side, that's where your retaining wall will be, and you'll still have the openings.
Yeah.
And then the east and west wall will be the I-beams over posts. So that's where the opening.
Just the east. I just have the east
so
and the north.
Walls full and just have the one wall opening that means for a carport.
Of the four exterior walls, two are open.
Two are open.
Right,
two are
open. So the east and west. So this is enough of the penetration.
The north and east.
Would you draw on those elevations?
What's that, Stephen?
The
north
and east. Would you draw on those elevations? What are you talking about?
The north and east.
On the garage elevations, show me what you're talking about.
For
structure. You're talking about columns?
Yeah.
As opposed to walls?
Yeah. What's the difference? Tell me what a column is and what a wall is.
You don't need to do that.
Huh?
I'm asking for some additional information because the information you've provided isn't what you're proposing. I was just wondering, can we do it here and now? Or
what else would you like me to put on there? The openings are the post-shade areas. They're the openings in the wall. The north wall and the east wall have openings, and they're post-shade on that drawing.
Then the other wall on the other side, this short wall, is solid, and then you have doors on the other side. On the
correct.
Side.
Yeah.
So this, compared to, this is what you would like to see, as opposed to what the city will have, is that correct?
No. We want to see a full wall there. We don't want openings in it.
Right, but the city requires all this to be quite open. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Yeah. So this is okay with that.
This is in between.
No, we're not okay with that.
You're not okay with this.
That's correct.
Okay.
This, I mean, I can't imagine this counts as an open.
It does not.
No.
Correct.
That's why I was asking you.
So what will it be?
You're talking about the north wall.
Yeah. No, the idea is that they could create enough openings within the concrete wall. That would be covered with mesh, that it would be sufficient for, you know, a carport, but still would be better structurally than their fire.
Let's just clarify this. You've got a back wall. We're talking about this in the entryway. Can you draw a 5 foot, 4 or 5 foot retaining wall, and then as a structural engineer like he is, whatever the column that needs to be, whether it's 8, 10, 12, 24, whatever that structural column is, we can sit here and call a wall assembly, or we can call it a column. It's relative to what a structural engineer says a thing is, right? I don't know how you can call it. If he says it's 18 inches full of steel, that's welded a certain way, I don't know how somebody can say it's a wall assembly if it's a column. So, I mean, if you're saying that this won't be accepted, but is it acceptable to have a certain amount of wall and a column?
That's what's acceptable.
So you're saying it's a thin column?
Well, I'm not a structural engineer, and I have three stories of load. So is the column this wide, or is it this wide?
You're making a column into an
in the wall assembly.
That's why you were talking.
But
this hasn't been approved by the building of the city.
No.
To help the city, perhaps. I mean, if this was a naturally ventilated garage, this would require 50%. Openings.
Oh.
Everywhere. I mean, take every exterior wall, 50% would have to be open.
Okay.
So this is not 50% by any means.
Right. So we'll end up accomplishing what would be required anyhow, right? Because it's a 5, it only allows a 5 foot high wall, and there's 8 feet to the upper floor, so there's going to be at least 3 feet of opening for the whole width, plus whatever columns you put in there. So that has to be at least 50% open from
on every elevation.
He's talking about all four walls.
Cumulative, all the way around. Go all the way around.
Got it.
But this is described as a carport, which can have two solid walls. It's not a ventilated garage. So we make some descriptions.
This is a ventilated garage. That's really what it is.
Oh, okay.
This isn't a garage.
I don't know. I'm going by what the city's telling me.
Well,
the city is saying, unfortunately, under the code, that a garage will be counted as space, right? So to get around that, they're doing a carport that will have two open walls. But it's basically the same.
I'm trying to work around this.
Well, good.
Okay.
Help me.
Okay, so if it's a naturally ventilated garage and you meet the natural ventilation requirements,
okay,
50% of the exterior wall needs to be open.
Okay.
That does not mean it should not be secure.
Okay.
Okay, so you can still put chain link, whatever
correct. You
need around there to make it a secure facility.
Okay.
But I mean, I'm not seeing this as being a carport. I mean, this is so far removed from carport. That is way more of a stretch than a garage which is open.
Okay. There is a definition, and I apologize, it's been a few months since I looked at it, but the definition we distinguished between a carport and garage was that there were just two walls. So somehow, along the way, we...
So let's say if there's two walls, that's 50%.
You're
okay,
right.
You're going
that's
with
true.
Me.
That's exactly right. You got it. It's true.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So, Alan, can three walls of this, if they add up to 50% of the entire area, would be okay, right?
That's where I'm going. I'm trying to get them back.
No, it's actually...
Okay. Would you open up all the walls, no garage doors, open up the...
No,
I didn't say open up garage
doors. These openings are going on three sides.
I'm trying to get you there.
And the other one, you have your garage doors. Yeah. And these three sides, if you add up the openings, are the equivalent of 50%. That's what you're doing, isn't it?
He's 50% all the way around.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't see
50% of four walls, correct?
50% of
four
walls.
So if the north wall is long enough...
If the north wall has got columns...
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So if the north wall is enough to count for 50% all the way around, then it will count. It isn't.
Four walls.
I know.
You'd have to have the whole back open the whole end to hit 50%.
Right.
So that means...
But we've got two ends, don't we?
Yeah.
No, the one end is supposed to be closed.
Why is the one end closed?
Well,
this is the two walls.
The bottom line is everyone hates to look. Maybe John doesn't like that look. So we're building a building that goes around three sides and garage doors and facades across the front. That's just about as weird as it can be. And the entire thing is a structural iron that is there to build that. So, I mean, there's... That was never a conversation in July. We're going with a carport.
That's right.
With concept, you get two open walls. We have a complete open wall with posts. And now all we're talking about is on the back side was, whatever kind of thing. If you guys get to the city end up telling us that there is no back wall and it needs to be posted across the back, then we'll do that and it'll even be less secure. And we'll do it that way. We'll have posts across the back and posts on the end and call it a day. And it's 50% and it's a carport. You guys can call it whatever you want to call it. And he'll draw it that way and I'll build it that way. We're trying to get on that back dark side against the funeral home. We're not going to build a little bit of a wall.
That's and
that's a little bit of a window. If we can't, we won't. So we get 56 and move on.
Understood.
And then there were just the two walls, just the east and north, and not...
And the east and north wall being the walls having obviously the garage doors, and the end wall facing the addition, the complex. Again, we've got this gorgeous looking complex, code changes, now we're going to build this goofy thing, and we're sharing a driveway. And when you share a driveway, you turn into that elevation, and you're looking across garage doors. How weird would that look if that garage door is the entryway and it's posts all the way around the back? So at least having the one end as a driveway, you're not flashing lights all the way through everybody's possessions in their cars. So we're trying to get there with the so-called carport thing. If everybody has a big hang-up here about it'll have to be a little bit because there is some dirt back there. That retaining thing cannot come up 5 feet because at that point somebody calls it a wall assembly. And if that thing, which he has drawn as 2 feet, and he's a structural engineer, it says, okay, then make it 16 inches. Fill it full of steel, and it's a column. So now it's a column with a wall. Is it still a carport wall? Is it still an open wall? Who can tell us that?
What's above here?
That's the floor assembly.
What is the floor assembly?
This area here. Above the window.
It's
two
TJIs.
Plywood and TJIs. It's a floor assembly.
It's a wood header. There's always something that the next floor sits on.
By a decoration, it's just where gypsum
all
over.
There should be one. I agree
with you.
There
should be.
So
is
that
hand
design? So a header. If so, what Heather's saying, okay, we have a wall. Someone can say there can be a certain amount of wall. There can be columns. But she's saying maybe there can't be a header. Right. So the header has to be up in the floor assembly because that somehow changes it. It's now a wall. A header exposed makes it a wall. I can build a carport and have a header all the way around it. And it would be a carport. how I structuralize something with a post and a header and a framing member.
Right.
Why does the header make it a wall? The same header can move up and be in the floor assembly. Fine. So now what? That made it a carport? I don't get that. I mean, is there some real description about this? Because I can't imagine. A retaining wall with a column and a header.
We're trying to get creative with you to help you find
out.
We're trying.
And but I can't tell me we can't have a header above two posts.
I'll tell you what. This is a design review book. We'll come up with creative ideas. You can shoot them down. Or you guys can come up with creative ideas, and we'll listen to you. What's your idea?
I guess
the city said this doesn't fly. What's your idea?
Tell me what does. That's my idea. I'm going to ask the question.
Right.
What's a wall assembly? What's a cardboard wall assembly? What is it? Because that, to me, is. So tell me how I'm wrong. Tell me where to go, and tell me how to steer my architect.
Sorry, this is what? What is this one?
If
we're looking at A7.
We're looking
at
the north one.
Okay.
No, not that elevation. If the back wall of this building is to be open in order to be considered a carport, tell me what I could have in 65 feet of wall area. Someone could say, hey, you can't have more than 6 inch column, okay? Can I have a retaining wall that goes up to 5 feet, like Heather mentioned? Can I have a column? Yes. Can I have a header?
I think the issue is to know how much open area you need and then distribute it around the three sides. Have you done that?
Well, we only have two sides.
Well, maybe you can have three if it's an open. Did you see where he was going?
Yeah, I don't understand.
You can only have two.
But, Heather, if you need an open structure.
Right. It has to be open from two sides.
Yes, but you can read that as saying 50%. Then you can look at.
It doesn't say, unfortunately.
It says two sides.
That's for the garage description. Yeah. Not right. The carport description.
We have been through this over and over. It's two open sides, specifically defined as that. Unfortunately.
Saw the way the code had been reworded after we already prepared it.
Of course.
I don't think the intent of 4:8 area ratio was meant to buy garage parking.
I think you're absolutely right.
It was meant for living spaces and density in the core. How we get to this conversation?
Let me educate you. Every jurisdiction
has
above ground parking as floor area ratio. Every jurisdiction. Okay? Below ground parking doesn't count towards floor area ratio. That is in every building code. So, you know,
it didn't change the 2012 year.
I'm just letting you know, don't sort of make out that the city is trying to screw you.
The density bonus is
not
provided if you're supposed to try and help offset the cost of putting parking below. That was the price of getting more density. Was that you use the land area for uses,
right.
And you don't need it again if you park it. You park below ground.
Right.
That was the intention of
but
it.
This
so you're trying to do both. You're trying to get the density, but you're trying to park on the surface as well, and the math just doesn't work.
Right. But you made it changed 2 years ago, 2012.
And developmentally, the math does not work with the parking below.
It just depends on where land price is.
And plus, there is no room for it. On a little lot for the density, but that's not the point of this
well, case. Well, yeah, it's a tough site to get in and out of. I don't disagree.
Exactly. I mean, I totally understand. You're caught between a rock and a hard spot because you're treating this as a phased development, and your first phase is built, and your second phase wasn't permitted at the same time, and therefore is falling under different rules and regulations. And
right.
That's the issue.
That's where we're at.
Trying to fit within that with this thing. I guess I think where this comes down is obviously the end wall is going to be wide open. So the back wall, where we're smacked up against, right up against the funeral home, if everyone's going to say that that's not open by definition, then we'll put posts in there. It'll be posts and chain them.
Okay.
right looking into the funeral.
I mean, whatever.
All right. So you say
our project code will go.
So we've, I guess, at this point made the assumption based on conversations that we're allowed to have a certain amount of wall, we're allowed to have columns, and I would obviously think that I'm allowed to have headers to support my upper floor. So basically, big windows on the back wall. I mean, if that can't be called a carport, then we need to know. And we need to have him draw an engineer completely different. Basically, go back to a post floor.
Right. In the time remaining, Heather.
Yes.
Where do we stand with the city on this?
I think that I think what would be beneficial is if you could provide some guidance on what you might, if they're proposing this mesh string, and let's look at that. If there's any comments you had, I think at our last discussion we talked about like maybe some, if there was a lower wall, we talked about a lower retaining wall, some kind of metal work.
Right.
You know, something as far as the design of what this is going to look like to create that opening, if you had any suggestions, that would be beneficial. The rest of it is really going to come down to code interpretation.
Right.
And you know, how wide those columns, that's all really out of a lot of people's hands. So if you could discuss more.
Is that what we're going to work on now in the remaining time? Because we aren't going to have time to go through the checklist.
I don't think we need to, but that's up to you all.
All right.
Because we went through the checklist.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, and I feel that you only asked for a few things to come back and they've addressed
right. So
this is the main thing I feel that
right. Do we have any suggestions? Jim?
I thought the city should look at going around on three sides and maximizing maybe even, I don't know what you could do, maximizing these openings on three sides. But this look, I'm assuming it'd be concrete block, right? Is that what you're looking for?
Poured
concrete?
Yeah.
Okay. Is a much more reasonable way to go and try and get those openings as close to the magic number as you can. Now, I don't know if there's a way. It seems like the building department and the planners could kind of come up with something reasonable for those openings. But this, to me, is so much better than what you had before.
Yes.
Right, which I'm scared of talking. That we're going back to it. Like, I have that on three sides.
Yeah, but three sides. The question is whether the 50% openings can be 50% openings as opposed to two walls.
That's where Alan was talking.
No, it's just
right.
It's an absolutely great
idea. We interpreted to be two walls because of the 50%. Right? Alan, that's where you're going.
Yeah.
And so it's a different line.
So it'd be kind of like, a little bit more leeway. However, can I go into another area before this all goes away? I have a big problem.
One
quick point,
yeah.
Because I don't know what the time commitments are. I just remember going through the code, and just to reiterate what both of you said, the code was very specific in talking about, I mean, we had attorneys on this, very specific, two walls. And I don't know what other interpretation you can have. I mean, it says two walls consist.
Yeah. Now, the minute we start talking 50% opening, open garage, now does that become FAR? We're back.
It sounds like it's whether that becomes a wall because the code says wall. That's where you're getting caught up.
Yeah, what's a wall?
What's a wall?
See, what makes a carport open is that two walls are open. So it's, you could say two walls is 50%. Two contiguous walls. That's what we're. I think it's worth.
I think they're asking me to come back and look at that interpretation.
That's right.
Definition, yeah. And is there flexibility in that it could potentially be three walls if we're still accomplishing.
That's right.
It could be four walls.
The building would look good.
That's right.
If you have this look on three sides, you have a look. It's a piece of shit.
That's right.
That look is not going to fly. Those horizontal slots.
Oh, okay.
I think that's
fine.
Okay. This is not going to make your calculation, but well, I would say what because these are your 10 to leave it decks, you really aren't going to get much use out of landscaping underneath the 10 to leave it decks. So I would recommend that the area that isn't under the cantilever decks is as open as possible, floor, ceiling, as wide as you can go. That then allows you to quite heavily plant and screen that opening into the garage from the funeral home side. So from the funeral home side, we're looking at heavy landscaping, wall with balcony above, heavy landscaping. I mean, we've got to get something that looks good from the other side of a property line as well. You know, it's not just, let's make this get some wacky regulation. You need to dress this up a little, otherwise it's not going to sort of make your project look good.
They wouldn't call those wall assemblies then?
Let me see if I can persuade them.
No,
the hatching there is what I am suggesting is your chain link. The solid area where I haven't hatched is what I'm recommended is solid walls. So you get big areas of ventilated floor to ceiling open.
And then you have landscaping in front of that.
And then landscaping in front of that, because if I understand correctly, there's the same thing. If you go to the front then, those are the areas, let's see, where's the, let me do it on this one. These are the areas where you actually have the opportunity to get the greatest landscaping bang for the buck, right? So I want to use a combination of landscaping in front of the chain link venting, because that is allowed. Even evergreen planting, it's considered a ventilated screen. Okay. And then on the ends, we just have to do some math to try and work out how much should be open, how much should not. And I'm assuming we've got some space for landscaping there too. It looks like you've got the potential. I mean, I don't have a landscape drawing, but it looks like you have the potential of getting some landscaping opportunity on both sides of those.
Okay.
So these.
Then you get back to what kind of garage doors are you going to have? Do we have a garage door where we can have part of the garage door open? Because that's the cross ventilation that could count as being partially open. More like a couple. I'm sorry, and I'm stretching this here, but I'm trying to get a solution here which helps you get around something that seems to be black and white.
Right.
We were just talking about black and white. We like black and white, but we have to step into the gray here.
Yes.
Because black and white isn't working.
Right.
So, Alan, so on the end elevations, these would be as open in an orderly way.
Yeah, open in an orderly way. Yeah. It appears to me that if I look at the...
on both sides.
Pick
up the open area.
Yeah.
So,
and when you go around the corner from the front garage, you know, maybe that wall continues around the corner a little bit before it's open. You know?
Works.
And then, you know, if it's okay with the owner, maybe the party walls between the carports. The party walls between the carports, maybe those are chain link.
Okay.
You've got it, you know, again, ventilating completely open.
Okay. Great.
I think you could write language around that which would
answer it.
Support this. I'm not suggesting that this is what should happen throughout the city.
No, but it's a good plan.
It would be good for Rosebud.
Excellent. Yes. You said you had another question.
I don't have a question. I do have a question. Is there a reason you
have this huge cantilever for this back deck? Couldn't you just hold it back like your other decks that you have in the front? Then you'd have a clear zone. You could do less. You could do all sorts of things there. And you don't know what's going to happen when they might go right to the line coming back.
Yeah, we could.
I mean, wouldn't it save you a lot of money? And you don't have all these problems with stuff underneath it?
Yeah.
So is this where you're saying to put the concrete wall out right underneath?
Yeah.
I'm saying the solid wall is underneath.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, that's why I was putting the wall underneath, because that is cantilevering out.
So it's such a... I think you would be so much better off in even fire access, getting around the building in emergency. You can't get around.
And it seems like that's where everyone's barbecues are going to be, out on that, you know, larger deck, which is off the kitchen dining.
Good.
So all these problems have been solved.
Heather, do you need anything more from us?
No, I really appreciate it.
We aren't taking any action at this time.
You're not?
No.
No.
Okay. Does that mean you would like them to come back?
Yes.
If this is able to be approved, and as you know...
If you can run it by your powers to be...
Okay.
Let's negotiate this a little. She can call. We can talk. In person.
Yeah.
But I think we need her blessing.
I agree with you.
Before we approve something, otherwise we might be approving the wrong thing.
No, I understand. That's okay.
We're a major client who wants to have a drawing design and engineer, which we need to do now. So if when I walk in here, wall columns, too big, but then,
if you like, we can reject it today.
You have to show a bit of respect, please.
Well, I'm sorry.
Excuse me, I want to say something. No,
yes, absolutely.
Excuse me, I get to talk too.
Of course you do.
You've been pretty much head of floor the entire time. You're late to this game. I didn't see you this last time. So you need to have a bit of respect, for us. Because we've been grappling with this for the 8 or 9 months. You come with some ideas that we have not heard of. So please do not try to muzzle us.
And
that's all. We know what we have done a bunch of projects before. We hopefully know what we're doing. I'm sure you do too, but let's have some consensus here. Thank you.
Okay. Well, let me explain. I reviewed all these drawings previously, and I was fully aware of what your proposal was before. I'm fully aware of what the dilemma is that you find yourself in, and I'm trying to be proactive to helping you find a solution. And what I'm interpreting as a relatively bombastic approach here wasn't working for me. I'm trying to help you get to a solution. I'm trying to get the city to a point where they can be flexible enough that you can go forward without losing the density. I totally get the dilemma you're in.
Our interests are aligned. We just need to be proceeding in a together fashion.
I think we are all trying to resolve a solution or find a solution, a resolution to this since July. And I know what you've been up against. Keep in mind, we're just a volunteer board trying to do what's right for the city and hopefully for you. And although we present suggestions and we present questions, it's not in an adversarial capacity. It's trying to get us both to a resolution on the things we see in front of us. So I know feathers flew a little bit today. That's okay. Compassion to a project is a very good thing. So Heather, getting back to you, we would like to get a determination from Kathy so that we can get these people moving forward. We understand your timetables. We understand your frustrations. And I hope you will understand, as Alan said, in good faith, we're only trying to help you.
So you guys think that an answer can come back from her that defines carport assemblies, wall assemblies, 50% ratios, except something to use as design criteria? Because that's, when I walked in here, you said I couldn't even have a 2-foot column. because that would be considered wall of
no, I didn't make the high line.
Okay.
That was the first time you asked me how
okay.
wide that
so,
problem could be, and I said,
okay.
I need to think about that one.
Okay.
And
so what they're describing is something that's like 50% column and 50% vacant, open.
Exactly.
So will she, that person be able to actually come back with us and say, this is the way the code will be determined, and this is giving some ideas to draw within?
May I make a recommendation? I wouldn't ask it that way.
Okay.
I wouldn't ask for a code interpretation. I would ask for something specific to your project.
Okay.
Because my guess would be if you ask for a code interpretation,
you
won't get it.
Okay. All right. So you won't.
Because then that means everything going forward.
Done.
You're asking for an interpretation for your project and to try and move you forward. I just think asking for interpretations and definitions is going to take longer than you have, and I don't think it's going to come back with the right answer.
And that's a normal process, to ask a question and have them submit that so that we can do that?
Well, what I will do is discuss with our director the recommendation from the design board, and I'll look closely at our definition to see if this still meets the cardboard. How clearly we've defined it. If it's two walls, this probably won't work.
Yeah.
But if it's something that's written more flexible, this could work.
That's right.
And that's what we can decide. And if this won't work, I believe and I agree that we still need to come back and determine how this lower level is going to be designed.
So either way, you would be able to give them direction on which way the design has to go.
Right.
Whether there's an accommodation here or whether it's going to go back.
Because we need specific, marching orders.
Yeah.
And then is Jim Lieber still there?
Jim Lieber?
Yeah. I think he's the type of third person besides you and Kathy looking at a definition. He would know in his experience, like, you know, what's happened before, what seems reasonable about what's the real reason for having it stated that way. It might mean just 50% openings rather than two walls.
Correct. That's a great idea to bring it to him. Thank you.
Very reasonable.
Yes.
Thank you.
Well,
it's a love fest all of a sudden. anything further? Any more questions from your side? Are there anything? Pardon me?
How about those?
Oh, God.
Now let me ask, are you guys meeting in 2 weeks?
Chances are, yes.
Okay. And does anyone know what that agenda looks like?
We don't know yet, but we would certainly find time for them on the agenda if we got this result. Yes.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
It's a wonderful concept. Oh. Damn, the notes might be lengthy.
I was saying, if you wanted, depending on your time, depends on your time, if you wanted to get the notes out in a two-parter, let's do this first so we can get to them. So if they come back in 2 weeks, they can get a copy of the notes before they come back.
Okay.
I mean, but if you have time to do them all, that would be great. But I don't think the other people, the other guy, I don't think he's going to be rushing back in in 2 weeks. Do you, Jim?
Are you surprised?
That's going to be a...
Yes, I feel like that's some serious stuff. All right, gentlemen, thank you. I guess I can call for a motion to adjourn.
your leave.
Second that.
Actually, it would be so easy to reject them.
Yeah.
And if that's what Kathy decides to do,
right,
I will totally understand. I was trying to put forward ideas might get them moving in the right direction.
Correct.
But if Kathy says,
I did not. I restrained myself.
Uh oh. Take care, Steve.
Thank you. Thank you.
If Kathy decides that this line is moving too far to be too lenient.
Right.
I totally respect
Thank you.
Yes. But I don't, because I and we're adjourned, so.
Right. I know, we're not adjourned. We can't adjourn.
We have a forum
that you're
talking about.
All right, well, whatever. but the point is, there is a level of not the aesthetics as much as the safety, and that has to be viewed, right. You know, and has to be considered. And you have to think of the people that would be living there.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't think it's a good environment in a carport situation in what we have considered a high-density area. And that has to be looked at very strongly. I know you were talking about the fire marshal. That's worthy of discussion, too. But I think there is resolution here. And I think at times you compromise because it's the right thing.
And so I understand your overarching safety concern is the combustion, the potential.
It's the combustion as well as the openness of the space to whatever is around that area.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's open, can you put chain link in there and still call it open?
They could chain link the whole,
so it could be secured.
And that's
what's
surprising to me with this design. If I told them when they brought it in, this isn't going to work. But they were like, okay, well, we're still going to bring it in and go forward with it and try. So they knew that, and they kind of spoken as their backup is just to do the chain link, which nobody wants, right?
Right.
However, could it be done in a nice way? I mean, they could do some nice metal work. You see all kinds of...
No, expand. They haven't done anything to make it look...
Right.
Yeah. They haven't done any design.
That's what sort of the headache about the architect is sort of like, let's make it as ugly as we can and then start from there.
Well, they didn't actually go all out with their landscaping changes that we recommended. It's just like some handwritten note on there.
No, they're not
big into landscape, are they?
Right. You can see that's pretty apparent.
Right.
They want the rose of trees.
So, that's a new insight, though, is the combustion argument that I hadn't thought of before. The safety thing, I think we can get around. I mean, they could chain link it or do whatever to keep people out. I think that can be accomplished regardless of how much wall there is, and it could be open arch. You guys didn't meet that definition. But what do you all want that to look like if that's the route that they have to go, right?
To me, it should look organized and
designed.
It's not designed at all.
Yeah.
And you can design it on 2 feet, two of the sides being open. I'm sure it could look quite nice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But there are many. Yeah. But they're not gonna. I don't think they're gonna do it.
Right.
So. Anyhow.
But I appreciate your perspective, Alan, that you brought. Because there's definitely a possibility that we perceive 50%. Being too bald and didn't expand our thinking.
Right, that was actually
forward.
A very
good. I'm sorry. No, but that is cool.
Yeah.
So, Heather, I wanted to talk to you.
Yeah.
I'm still very concerned about that little gap there, okay?
I am. I'm going to get the fire marshal to review it. Okay. But you're right. Doesn't the fire marshal require like a minimum separation between
it goes right up to the property line.
Yes.
And then in theory, if Cooks move their double wide and someone build a building there that could go right up to the property line, or are they going to be penalized, whoever buys that, and go, oh, no, you have to be 10
you have to have a 10-foot clearance because they went right up. So
that doesn't sound right.
You know, let's clarify it now and make it right.
Correct.
So again, you have you're going to have a wonderful cup of coffee with the fire marshal.
Yeah, and I'll have that before we meet again.
Good.
So you guys can speak better.
Thank you.
Who's this? Alan.
Oh,
okay. No, that was just.
So thank you, Heather. So thank you all. Very, very
ride home,
healthy discussion. Yeah.
Yeah.